We all joined against a common enemy. Now the ship has been brought back to life again. Not for the purpose of war, although we'll no doubt see our share of battles, but to save Earth. The message from the Queen Starsha of Iskandar offers Earth its one chance for survival. As you know, the radiation increases every day. Now life on Earth has only 1 year left. We must reach Iskandar, get the Cosmo DNA, and return to Earth in 1 year. The Star Force needs you, and others like you. We know a round-trip space journey of 296,000 light-years has never been attempted before. But we also know planet Earth has never been in such danger before. We will succeed in our mission. The Star Force cannot fail.
Space. We're leaving Mother Earth to save the human race. Our star blazers.
Now, coming to you from the Super Digital Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
Indeed it is.
All right. Why, hello there. It's 2 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11, and this the month of August in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio right here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Friday, and welcome to day 12. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to join us today and be part of our program, and why would you not, my friends? Why would you choose to pass that opportunity up? It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 with your comments, clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. 733-2970. You can email us as well. It's rick at rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. Sarah at 970.am. Tim at 970.am. Or Scotty J at 970.am. Speaking of Scotty J, he's standing by, willing, ready, able, with bated breath to pass along your phone calls about whatever's on your mind, the groundbreaking, the interesting, the tedious, the mundane. It is 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up today. By the way, he just sent me an email. He just sent me an email announcing that that was, quote, the nerdiest opening ever. Signed, Carry On, Star Force. Thank you, Aaron Durant. Aaron Geek in the City Durant will be joining us in the studio later on today. 2 o'clock, he'll be here to review Rush Hour 3, which is kind of pointless, so I imagine that'll take up a good 13, 14, 15 seconds, because really, what is there to say about that? And how sad that that's the biggest opening this weekend. I don't think there's anything else. Tim and I were looking, I mean, granted, that's the New York Times, so being in New York, and of course, more important than everyone else on Earth, they get, they get stuff there that we're not going to get for several weeks, but I believe here in Portland, we commoners simply get Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan.
Ah, but the new Flash Gordon sci-fi series premieres tonight on the television.
Is that on the television? Mm-hmm. Really?
9 o'clock tonight, the sci-fi channel Flash Gordon.
On the television. Mm-hmm. Kids, don't forget to watch Flash Gordon tonight on the television. Which I guess maybe is an important distinction these days, as opposed to on the internet. I guess that's a fair point. I guess there are programs now that air only on the web. So, all right, there you go. So I guess that's a phrase that was interesting and then useful, then outdated, and now useful once again. All right. It's like, but like back in the 50s, you'll see those TV shows from back in the 50s or the 60s, or the movies or something, where they'll refer to television, and they'll refer, sometimes it's like the television, and then sometimes you will hear this, and I don't know if this is a regional thing, like some sort of a regional diction or a dialect or a way of speaking, but sometimes you will hear people in like late 50s, early 60s movies and television shows, when they themselves are talking about watching television, they will actually refer to it as look at television, Not watch.
Looking at television.
Looking at television. Do you want to come in the other room? We're going to look at television. Like television is some weird guy with a scar and a stubby foot. You're going to watch him hop around the middle of the room or something.
Anyway.
It's Friday. Glad you're there. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up today. CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard will be joining us today. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. I think we had to lie to CNN to get her because they have this whole thing about insisting that we're going to talk about a news story. Actually, using their service for the purpose of which it's intended. So I think we said that we're going to talk about the economy, but that's probably not going to happen. We'll talk to CNN Radio correspondent James Roop. Who was in Los Angeles last... I believe he was in attendance. Was it in L.A.? Let's see. I think he was there. I think he was at this logo debate last night, the Human Rights Campaign, which everybody's just calling it the gay debate, so that's what we'll call it. He was at the gay debate last night, which is, I guess, Clinton was there, Mike Gravel, Barack Obama, John Edwards, and then Bill Richardson, who's, of course, going to provide endless comic fodder for us today, because apparently he just... bungled it spectacularly. And that's, you really can't make me happier than when I open up the news. I didn't watch it. I'll be the first. I went home and I fell asleep at like 9.
You can see his legs collapsing underneath him while sitting in the chair.
Along with his hopes.
Yes.
His legs and his future collapsing underneath him like so much sandy rubble. I meant to watch it, and I meant to put it on the TV, and then I forgot, and it's the whole thing. But I came in today, and there was a whole bunch of emails about it, and then Dennis Miller, of all people, was talking to me. He's like, hey, did you see that guy from New Mexico just eat it last night?
Yeah.
Which is great. Apparently, they asked him a very simple yes-no binary question. They said, like, so, the gay, a choice or not, go. And I guess he took like 3 minutes to issue a non-answer. I guess he took about 3 minutes to go, I don't know. I don't know. What do the polls say I should say? And then he said nothing. And apparently his answer was so bad that he then put out a clarifying statement that night through his PR person, which was equally bad. So, of course, we're going to play that 100 times today because apparently it's embarrassing. What else? Well, Aaron Geek in the city, Durand will be here. We'll talk a little bit to Dennis Pitzenbarger. He's going to stop in the studio for a few minutes later on. That's a good chance, actually, to talk about this thing that's on the A&E today. The Oregonian, where they have 405 employees cranking out such articles as this. This is why you need 405 employees at the Oregonian. Because it takes every one of them to write this article. What are the 20 greatest movie car chases of all time? So there you go. We'll talk about that. I'm not above reading from it, though. We'll talk about that later on as well. I think we're going to end up doing the Night Ranger Top 5 today. Seriously, it was like all we could do to talk Scotty off of this ledge today, insisting that we do, because we did all Madonna bumper music last Friday. And so Scotty was, you got to do all Night Ranger music. And it's like, why? For who? For what? To what end would we ever play 18 Night Ranger songs? It's not going to happen. I did allow as how we would, it would be interesting to do a Night Ranger Top 5 because we're sending a bunch of people to see, including Scotty himself, to see Night Ranger tomorrow at the Gorge. So we're going to, anyway, so we'll play the Top 5 Night Ranger songs later on. It seems like I had something else. We got a big announcement about next week. We have a pretty cool giveaway that we're going to be doing. Actually, got several. And I'm not trying to say this as a tease. It's just, it would take up so much time and be such a clutter. Such a clutter and a cluster, both, to try and do all this right now. Really, I got to tell you, like in the next 2 weeks, we are lousy with giveaways right now. And by lousy, I mean packed. I don't mean bad. I mean packed. This week, last week, and the next 2 weeks, we have so much damn stuff we're giving away. You have no idea. Including a couple things that are really, really cool. So I know I'm being an idiot DJ by teasing that and then not paying it off. It's just there's no time. So you want to be listening next week and the week after that, though. Lots of cool stuff. We will reveal one of those giveaways later on today because it's a giveaway that also backhandedly fulfilled one of my boyhood fantasies. So we'll talk about that here just a skosh, as our Asian friends say. All right. But the big news today, the big happening today, later on in the program, we'll be having a fortified wine tasting. So Scotty, did you? Well, we'll talk to him later. We'll make sure that Scotty didn't drive today, because he's got to be able to He's got to be able to get home under somebody's power that's
sure
not
his
own.
I don't think he drove. Yeah, I didn't see his monster truck in the parking lot.
You didn't see his Pelican truck out there. All right, so we'll talk to Scotty about that in a few. We've got to. I don't want to talk about the fortified wine tasting just yet because it's. Because they are trying to make it illegal. Apparently, they're trying to rid downtown Portland of fortified wine. And because it was Scotty's birthday this week, and he wasn't really able to celebrate that on the show because he had to spend time with that. Family of his. So we'll do a little bit of that today as well. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Hi, how are you today?
Hello, I'm doing well. How are you?
I am fantastic, is how I am. I'm wonderful. I'm excellent.
I'm just looking forward to hearing Scotty J be drunk. I was trying to describe some of my friends last night about how brilliant his drunk recordings were from Vanilla Ice.
There's no way to describe it.
There's no way to describe it.
I mean, have they not heard it?
No, they haven't.
I actually got an email from somebody the other day, and she was like, I hear there are some recordings of Scotty J drunk, but I've never heard them.
Yeah, my friends were like, oh, I know you work on the radio, but they never listen.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I thought they were always calling you and bothering you during the show.
No, I have like two or three friends that listen. The rest of them are like, oh, yeah, you do that radio
thing.
Oh,
yeah, you do some program on an AM station.
Exactly.
Why would I ever listen to
that? You. And then they'll hear, like a snippet of it once. Like, oh, I heard your voice. I'm like, oh, I talk all the time.
Thanks so much. Yeah, appreciate that.
They will listen, though, on the day that you don't want them to.
Yeah, no, they'll turn in the day that you...
Like when my mom's driving through town and we're talking about inappropriate things.
Yeah, you always think people don't care. Oh, they're listening.
They'll tune in the day you say something bad about Raul. Yeah, or about them.
Yeah.
The day that you say something bad about your like, you know, one of your cousins or something, they'll be driving through town. Am I idiot? The heroin-using cousin? You know, they'll ride as you, as soon as, yeah. If you want to make somebody listen, start talking about them. And it's like their nose itches, and then they turn on the radio. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm hoping that my, crackhead who lives in my apartment listens sometimes, that it can actually get through that person.
I don't know that I should reveal this. So your face just panicked.
Oh, okay.
Your blood just drained out of your face. I was just going to say, I talked to somebody the other day who, because the place where you live, there's you and there's a crackhead above you, and then there's somebody who lives below you, right?
Yeah.
So
there's someone who lives below me, and three people live above me.
Can I tell you this? So I talked to somebody the other day, somebody you and I know sort of casually. And they are a friend of the person who lives underneath you.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think the friend...
The teacher?
Yeah, I don't think he knows who you are as such. Does he know you do the show?
No, yeah, he talked to me one day because he heard me on the Marconi show, and he's like, and he's a salsa teacher, and he's like, Sarah, I thought that I heard you on the Marconi show.
Really?
Yeah, he talks like that. It's great.
Well, I don't mean, this is, I think, maybe only a one-time thing, but it's funny that you're always complaining about the crackhead upstairs, because I talked to this guy.
Does he complain about me?
Apparently, he had this once. He's like, yes, maybe, and apparently in some saucy salsa-esque Latin. And then she had thrown a loud bash the night before, and I was up until 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Apparently he was complaining that you had thrown some happening.
I did
upstairs.
Just one time, and he came up and complained, and I kicked everybody out, and it was fine. No, I know, I feel really bad. But, yeah.
And we're done.
Yeah. That's really awkward.
No, it's just interesting. I know it was only the one time, I think. It was, it was our friends, Adrian and Alicia. They were in the, Mr. Riley.
They came over for a barbecue once.
Yeah.
No, I felt really bad. I bought them flowers and a card the next day.
I saw them when I went to see this great local band, Bubba Speed, that I've been talking about lately. I went to see them play, and they happened to be there.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, yeah, we know the guy who lives underneath Sarah, and, apparently she was really loud the other night.
Well, because he's used to, because the person that I replaced in the apartment was this old guy who was, like, on a walker, who made no noise.
Well, of course.
He lived there for 6 years.
Like the rattling of his lungs.
Didn't do anything, didn't make a single peep, but of course, you know, if you move a 26-year-old girl into a place, it's going to be a little different. I think that he was just used to having it silent.
You should have him live with you for just a week so he can, like, experience what it's like to live beneath a crackhead. Then you'll seem absolutely silent. You know what I mean? Just set the bar a little higher.
Yeah, he doesn't even know.
Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
And this just in, there's been another incident in a coal mine, this time in Indiana. Three people are dead there.
God.
Now, at the other one in Utah, they drilled a hole, but they drilled it in the wrong spot. So
are you kidding me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They missed them completely.
All right.
So the hole that they've been drilling has been on.
Well, that's wonderful.
The dead woman found in Scappoose had just arrived days earlier to Portland on a Greyhound bus from Idaho and had been arrested for prostitution before. Oh, get this. A Medford woman who used a stolen credit card to buy a lottery ticket that won $1 million has to give it back. A judge rules you can't steal credit cards to buy lottery tickets and keep the jackpot if you win. A very sweaty, nervous Bill Richardson came out looking really bad last night on the logo presidential debate. That's Viacom's KTV channel. And nobody's been talking about this, but I guess this is what happens every time you try to put a teacher in space. NASA is studying video of foam that came out the shuttle's fuel tank during its launch.
Maybe the teachers are the problem. Have we thought about that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe God hates teachers.
Yep.
Maybe God is just, he's trying to send us a message, perhaps. All right.
Well, there you go.
And the National Zoo is asking for your help in naming its new anteater.
The National what?
Zoo.
In naming who?
Its new anteater.
Okay. Anteater?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was stupid. All right, I'm just going to read this email because it's got a funny phrase in it. Rick, thanks for carrying Don and Mike. As a result of your programming efforts and your midday show, I am never off of AM 970. I listen all the time, even on podcast. P.S., in referring to Tammy Faye Baker, Rob just said the phrase, hot as religious balls. All right, thank you, sir. I'm going to read these three quick one-line emails about the opening. Rick, Star Blazers was the bomb. Wasn't Nova hot? You just made my day. Nova. Boy, you know, I could just talk all day about Star Blazers. I won't, because that really is just sort of nichifying ourselves here, but I am glad that I'm glad that I was able to get some resonance, as they say in marketing, with that opening. Dude, this email says, greatest intro ever. I just got chills listening to your Star Blazers opening. That was my all-time favorite show growing up, the Wave Motion Gun. Wow, 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 he says. Really, really, wow. Okay, thank you. And this email says, I'm having Star Blazers flashbacks. My voice is cracking and I have suddenly got zits. Star Blazers, wicked cool. Signed, John in his 40s. Always glad to help, sir. It's Star Blazers really was fantastic, and I'm not going to pretend that everybody knows what it is or that everybody knows what I'm talking about, but if you were there, if you grew up watching that, you absolutely know what all these emails are talking about. It was a cartoon quite like any other in the United States at that time, and I think really was a regional thing. I have... And I'm not going to talk about this for more than like 30 seconds. I strongly suspect that Star Blazers was a regional thing only. I watched it on KSTW Channel 11 out of Seattle, which we got in Kennewick. We were a KSTW affiliate. And so KSTW Channel 11 from Seattle would show Star Blazers every morning at I think like 7:30. I don't think it was carried in the rest of the country. And I strongly suspect that KSTW... didn't really ever watch the show or screen it before they put it on the air. Because I think if they had screened it in advance, they would have realized it was probably not appropriate for children. Star Blazers was this, it was a half-hour science fiction series. But it was an animated science fiction series, but it was a serial. In other words, it was an ongoing series. Every episode led into the episode after it. They were not standalone episodes. It was one long, ongoing science fiction series broken up in half hour. But the thing was, it was actually a Japanese primetime series. It was not made for children. It was a Japanese like series for adults that I think KSTW just bought at a bargain sale somewhere and stuck on in the mornings to entertain children without ever watching it. And it was kind of traumatic when you were a kid because, again, because it was a Japanese series made for adults. Characters were routinely killed. I mean, on screen. There'd be some character that you'd grown attached to for 7 or 8 months, and then he'd be shot in the face and killed right in front of you. And so there I am as a five-year-old watching this cartoon every morning at 7:30. There's some character that I've grown to love, and then the next thing you know, he gets shot right in the face in front of you, and he's dead. I mean, why would you show that to children?
Like a high-speed chase in L.A.
Exactly. I mean, and I will, and I do remember at one point, by the way, there was an episode after the Star Force had landed on Iskandar, and they were getting ready to sail back, and there was a whole group of guys from the Argo who decided to stay back on Iskandar and repopulate the planet themselves because they thought that everybody on Earth was dead. And there was a strongly implied gang rape in one scene. They didn't show it, but it was strongly implied that they were planning to get in the back room and take turns with Nova, sort of Gatlin Boy style. And I remember being 7 years old, watching this cartoon in the morning before I go to kindergarten, going like, what in the hell am I watching? Somebody just got shot, and now they're all getting ready to sexually assault the main character. So, there you go. Good times. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We'll do these calls here in just a second. Just take a breath. We got Lisa Goddard coming up when? 11:35. So I do have a few minutes to work with here. I'm trying to figure out what I should do first. If I should mention this great announcement that we're going to be fresh. You mentioned this great giveaway we're doing next week. I have the fortified wine to talk about, and then I do. I'll do the announcement, and then we'll do these phone calls.
Well, when are we going to make Scotty start drinking?
Oh, that's a good question, Sarah. Well, we should find out first. We should verify whether or not Scotty has...
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Why, hello, Scotty J, and how are you today?
Well, good morning, the Dells.
I don't even know.
That was really lame.
Is that correct? Is that how you're supposed to say it? I guess it is.
Yeah, it's
it
two
is.
Words.
What does that even mean, the Dells? What is a Dell?
Scotty, what's the history like, behind the Dells?
It's spelled like Dallas, so maybe
that's,
they had
that
this.
Is, what's the other one? John Day? It's named after somebody?
But what I mean, what is a Dell?
I'm sure that it's because we already have a Dallas, Oregon, and they're spelled the same.
No, they're not spelled the same. Okay, Dallas then. Is spelled like Dallas, isn't it?
I guess.
Isn't Dallas, Oregon spelled like Dallas, Texas?
I get them confused. Yes, it is.
Okay. The city that killed JFK.
But I can't spell, so.
I never really thought about that until just now. If it's the Dalles, there must be a single Dal somewhere. And so what the hell is a Dal? That's a question that I've never actually pondered until just this very moment. Now my brain is vibrating. All right. Hi, Scotty. How are you today? You excited for Night Ranger?
Great. Yes, I am.
Oh, it's tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Now, can I...
Do you know the words of Sister Christian yet?
Oh, the time has come.
I'll just stop. You're fooling no one. All right. So, Scotty, the big question is, did you drive today?
No.
Fantastic. All right, good, because we have late celebrating for your birthday to do.
Excellent.
That's wonderful.
Belated celebration.
Then we're going to send you home on the Max.
Seriously. We're going to put you down in a cot at the Mission.
Head up against the window.
So let me ask you this. What is the word on Peter Chris?
The word is, Scotty, I left you a message this morning. Let's schedule. We can do 3 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday or Wednesday. Well, I wrote back to her and go, we do news hour in between then. And if there's any chance we can do it before or after, I'd love it, or we'll take this. So I'm waiting to hear back.
I didn't hear. Okay. So they want to do it in the news hour?
Yeah, on Tuesday or Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. So that's the news hour.
Is that right? The only? Really? I'm not
sure about that.
No, I mean clearly.
Peter Chris
is no Tim Riley. Is that
that's
the only
right.
time
that's,
they can
that's
do it?
That's what I told her.
Did you ask them if we can do it another time?
Yes, I did.
All right,
so I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
Would you like to know? Okay, but just I can say this. Would you like to know what Scotty told me yesterday? Because he'd had no luck getting Peter Chris, you know, who was the drummer in Kiss, the Peter Chris people to confirm. I said, Scotty, so how's that Peter Chris thing going? He goes, well, I don't think I really helped us out yesterday. When I talked to the woman, I was sort of, and I'll have to abbreviate this, he says, when I talked to the woman today, I was sort of a-holistic. That's actually how he described himself. So, it's you know, it really is amazing that she hadn't just been busting her hump to get back
to
you.
No, she realized what a popular show we are, and she thought she better get on.
Am I right about this? That the reason they were so reluctant to book Peter Chris is because they've been burned by radio interviews.
Live ones,
idiot DJs get him on the air, and they ask him a bunch of embarrassing Kiss questions. You know, like, are you bankrupt? You know, she said, do you hate Gene Simmons because he's got money? You know, or whatever. Right, and so you had to tell them that I'm not some jackal DJ? Because that's clearly what happens. Is they get on some moronic morning show, and they just ask him a bunch of stupid questions. Obviously, we care about him because he was in Kiss. But, I mean, he just gets these idiot DJs that just want to screw with him, right?
That's exactly right. And I basically said that if she wanted, I would have you comfort her with your words or whatever.
What is that?
What?
I don't know what that means.
You were comforting words that you weren't going to talk.
You want to comfort her with your words?
That Rick would, so they wouldn't talk Kiss out of control or whatever. Because she only wants one or two Kiss questions.
Well,
so that's
well, we'll see about that. But the point is that she doesn't want the guy to be embarrassed or to like be made fun of, right?
Right.
Because he's kind of had enough of that just being Peter Chris. So, I mean, no, seriously, I love Kiss and I love him. But, I mean, come on, what are you going to do? Okay, so here's why this is great. Because we're doing, and I was going to recommend, if the Peter Chris people had put you off one more time, I was going to have you pull out this ace in the hole, so to speak. This ace in the hole, which is that all next week, you know what we're going to be giving away on this very fine radio program? All next week, and I believe we're going to be doing some of these to the Glorious Bastards, too. All next week, we are giving away Kissology Volume 2. And if you've seen Kissology Volume 1, it is fantastic. It is a great... It's not the same old footage. It's not just like them playing rock and roll all night again. It is rare, really, really rare documentary footage. Old, vintage, era interviews you've never seen before. This is volume two of a it's going to be a total three-part set. This is volume two, Kissology volume two, 1978 to 1991. It's got all kinds of great old interviews. It's got television interviews they did. It's got, I believe, that notorious interview they did with Tom Snyder where Ace Frehley was like as drunk as can be. And Tom Snyder's like, "So, Ace, do you like being in Kiss?" And Ace is like, "No, I'd rather be a plumber." And then falls out of his chair because he's drunk. So I think this is all on here. Kissology Volume 2, 1978 to 1991. So we're giving that away next week. And I do believe, I can't swear to this, but I do believe that Kissology Volume 2 contains an alternate cut of Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, which to Kiss fans is like, that's huge news. Okay, but you know the best thing about this? And I have a whole folder full of these, and you'll hear most of them next week. I finally got to fulfill a childhood fantasy. Paul Stanley actually saying my name out loud. Sir, is my computer up?
It is.
Let me just...
This is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley from KISS. You are broadcasting from deep within the KISS Nation. You're listening to The Rick Emerson Show.
Come on! How great is that?
Now, how did you get that?
Because...
Because I'm
a man who can... Because Susan Reynolds did it for me.
He's an American.
That is sweet.
Who wants to hear another one?
Oh, I do.
Oh, I do.
Hey, this is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley. And you're listening to The Rick Emerson Show. And there's no doubt you're a card-carrying member of the mighty KISS Army. And we're here to repay that loyalty. We're giving away advanced copies of Kissology Volume 2 on DVD. And one might just have your name on it. Go to 970.am to find out more.
Don't do that yet.
Thanks for supporting KISS, and thanks for listening to The Rick Emerson Show. He said it right here on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Come on!
Wow. That is sweet.
Kneel before Zod!
You're a celebrity.
Seriously, I can't take any credit because that's all Susan Reynolds. She did that, but seriously...
She needs to teach me how to do this stuff.
She did both voices?
She's great. She's really a good impersonator.
You have no idea how much that is just like puts me one step closer to being able to die happily.
One step closer to getting a real job. No, sorry.
Who is that directed at? A guy who can't book an interview? So there you go. If Peter Criss had hesitated, I was going to have you pull out the... Well, you know, Gene and Paul already agreed to do something, but maybe Peter doesn't want any of that action.
Yeah, and have a listen to this, Lori.
Yeah, seriously. All right. Let me just do a couple calls, then we'll break, and we'll come back with Lisa Goddard. All right. Thank you, Scotty.
Thank you.
All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, Star Blazers is one of my favorite shows. I ran home every day to watch that show.
No, it's fantastic. It is one of the best shows ever.
They also played... I was in Sunnyvale, in Silicon Valley, in California, mm-hmm. when I saw it. And they also, right after that, they aired a show on a little station called KBHK 44 called Robotech.
Right, Robotech. Yeah, I remember that.
And then the first episode, the guy... And, I grew up like you, watching G.I. Joe or whatever. And then the first episode, these guys fly out in the helicopters, and the aliens pop up and kill them.
Yeah.
And you're like... And I was like, what, people die in cartoons?
I remember in the pilot episode of Star Blazers, Derek Wildstar's brother, Alex Wildstar, his whole ship is attacked by Gamelons. I know this sounds retarded to Sarah and everybody.
It's awesome.
His entire ship is attacked by Gamelons, and everyone on board dies. And you're sitting there watching it going, what in the hell am I watching? People in cartoons don't, certainly not for children, don't usually die. It's all very, very, very unnerving.
Best show ever, right?
Excellent. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Let's get two more. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Welcome from unemployment land, Rick.
Thank
this
you.
Sarah, can you tell me when the Soapbox Derby is?
Yeah, it's Saturday, August 25th, and it starts around, I believe, 10 a.m.
Okay.
And it's on the top of Mount Tabor. You should go. They have drinking permits, so you can start bringing sparks at 9 a.m.
There you go.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye now. One more. Should we do movie info or meth head?
Meth head.
All right. Meth head. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
The Dalles means bend in the river.
Bend in the river. Excellent.
And it's really close to Doofer, by the way. I know you were wondering Doofer. What Doofer was all about.
All right.
See ya.
I swear to God, it said something on the screen about stupid meth head and lotto money. It was none of that. All right. Okay, when we come back, apparently we have breaking Peter Criss news, so you'll have to hear that after the break. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Hi. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. You know, when I say hello like that, sometimes I remind myself of Mr. Ed. All right. We were a little late getting back there because
You're so weird.
What?
I remind myself of Mr. Ed.
I do sometimes.
Who reminds himself of a talking horse?
Me. And the list is over. No, we were a little late getting back because I was busy smearing blood all over the medicine cabinet in the kitchen. I just punctured the end of my finger with a staple. That felt great. That's wonderful. Well, that's a long story. I was just getting a stapled piece of paper, blah, blah, blah. And one of the ends of the staple, this will make everybody at home cringe. Listen to this. One of the ends of the staple, instead of being folded over, was pointing straight out, and I didn't see it. And I stuck my finger, and the extended razor-sharp end of the staple just went directly into the tip of my finger. Not under my nail, but in the tip. Just punctured its way right into my finger. That's fantastic. All right, it's 503-733-2970. All right. Let's see. This can't be true. I'm looking at the price on this stuff. This can't possibly be true.
Oh, your gift?
Oh, we'll look it up later.
Okay.
Don't tell Scotty.
He's going to accost you.
No, it's a tease. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. CNN Radio correspondent to the stars, the one and only Lisa Goddard. Hi there.
Hi. Hey, my question to you is, where are you guys getting these razor-sharp ninja staples that apparently are around your office?
I don't know. You know, it was something that a listener dropped in. And a listener dropped something off, and it had sort of a note stapled to it. And I went to open the note, and the razor just went, and it's like the razor for a moment became a sentient being. It's like the razor became the white whale for a second and went right after me. Hey.
Wow.
So yeah. There you go. And we're done. I was going to ask you something, but I can't think of what it was. Oh, you know what? I got to pay off the Peter Christing. So, Lisa, let me just say this now, and I'm saying this to you, and I'm really saying it to everybody. We normally talk to you right around this time.
Right.
Next Thursday, however, we will have to be scheduling you at a different time because this has just been confirmed by Scotty the J. Next Thursday, 11 a.m. on this program, we will be interviewing rock legend and former KISS drummer Peter Criss right here on the Rick Emerson Radio program. So well done, Scotty. Congratulations.
Well done, Scotty. That is awesome.
It's been a bit of a long slog for him, and it remains to be seen whether Peter Criss actually shows up because we've had things booked before that then fell apart. But next Thursday, 11:30 a.m., Peter Criss will be joining us right here on the Rick Emerson Show. Also, everybody, don't forget, next week we're giving away Kissology Volume 2. That's all week long.
Oh,
so,
very nice.
So next Thursday we'll be having you at a different time. It's all very exciting, Lisa.
I think that, I keep wanting to use a certain three-letter cuss word, like saying that kicks butt.
Ass?
You can say ass.
You know, what are the radio rules on that? Really?
You can say ass? You know,
no problem with that.
Can I just say that you said pissed off multiple times on this program?
Yeah, but pissed off, really, is that bad? Is that worse than ass?
Well, I suppose these are all...
Is that as bad as ass?
These are all relativistic questions, I suppose. I don't know,
true?
Are you asking my opinion or the opinion of, like, my mom?
Oh, that's a good point. So are you saying one man's ass is another man's piss? This is getting weird. I'm just wondering.
Lisa, you just got bleeped.
I actually did just have
to
bleep that.
I am so proud of you.
No. And
really?
No. Here's, and I wish I didn't have to bleep that just now because that was the funniest thing you have ever said. And let me explain why I bleeped it though.
I'm so embarrassed.
No.
Idea. Yeah. What happened?
No. Don't be embarrassed because you know what? Nobody gets dumped more than like the people in this room.
I just got dumped yesterday.
We have to bleep ourselves all the time. So when you talk about someone being pissed off, you can say that. What you could not say, at least on this program,
as a noun.
Yeah, and because it also works as a verb. Like you could not refer to going to the bathroom as going and taking one of those.
You're kidding me, this is more cussing than I do in a good month. But you're saying that as a noun is bleeped when like. Ass as a noun is not.
It's all very, very. It's all very complex and frustrating.
Yeah, we have a weird society. It's gotten all strange. I don't. But I'm glad. I'm glad you are at the steering wheel because I obviously don't know all about this.
Oh, you know what? It's funny. We will get people who come on, and they will toe the line on 99% of the things, and then they will bust out some incredibly profane word They just say, like, all wide-eyed and innocent, just absolutely convinced that it's permissible. You know? Like, seriously, we had a guy come on the show one time, and I forget even who this was, but a guy came on the show, and, you know, he wasn't, I don't even think he was saying, like, hell and damn. Like, he was being very, very, very clean. And then he actually then, just out of the blue, used the crude street terminology for a form of oral sexual contact. And just said it, but like, and I looked at him and I said, dude, and I hit the button and he's like, what? What? You can't say that? And I'm like, well, of course you can't say that, right? So, really, it's all very interesting.
Well, I feel quite, geez, I feel like I've sullied myself. And I guess I'll say this. As a Capitol Hill correspondent, I don't often run into this problem. So it definitely makes your show special.
No. And really, I will say this. Don't think of it as sullying yourself. Think of it as, you know, you finally, it's sort of like a rite of a passage. You've finally been bleeped. You know what I mean? It happens to everybody.
That's true. It has never happened to me before. So that is pretty cool.
And I don't think it's a very good book. So I'm really loath to recommend that most people read it. But if you really do want to find out exactly sort of the insanity of this, there is a great chapter in Howard Stern's second book, Miss America, which, again, I don't really think is a great book. It's kind of a waste of space, in my opinion. But his second book, Miss America, does have a great chapter on those regulations, which is sort of infuriating and hilarious, where he kind of lays out, you know, the various rules and sort of self-contradictions within. So
I think I have to check that out now. Now I'm fascinated by this whole world.
Someday, really, and I mean, honestly, if we ever get the chance to talk not on the air, like if we're ever in some sort of social setting where we just have, like, a spare 12, 13 minutes, I can kind of give you at moderate length a sort of discourse on those regulations, which is just, and every time that I do it, like I had to, you know, my wife one time asked me some question, and I said, well, here's the way it works. And I laid it all out, and I got to the end of the explaining all the FCC regulations, and she actually just said, she goes, well, that's insane. And I said, yeah. So, you know, what are you going to do? Hey, well, speaking of that's insane, I know that this is not what you're technically talking about today, but did you watch the gay debate last night?
No, I did not watch it last night. I was at a concert. I'm sorry. I fell down on the job. I've seen pretty much all of the other debates. I'm a little bit debated out, but I did read about it and see the clips and such.
Yeah, apparently, what's his name? Richardson just dug himself in real deep. Apparently, he just...
Joyce. Yep.
Waved himself around just like a big, untalented clown. Is what he looked like, I guess. And I've only seen bits of it. Apparently, it was so bad that his PR person actually had to put out a clarifying statement, which I guess was equally bad. And Tim Riley has noted that it was actually classed as a forum, not a debate. But, I mean, there were ample opportunities for one to be hoisted by one's own petard, which I think that it happened to several people last night. So,
and that's really what all of these debates and forums are good for right now. Nobody's going to get too far ahead, but people can definitely slash their own throats in these debate right now. It's the game is just trying not to make any mistakes. And I don't know if you guys have talked about this, but when asked by Melissa Etheridge, no less, whether he thinks homosexuality is nature or nurture, Bill Richardson said it's a choice. Well, and he went on from there.
But I think he took like 3 minutes to even say that. Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
So.
And he really had a hard time stumbling. And you think when you're going to a debate that is, you know, organized by gay rights activists, there's a couple questions you need to figure are going to come up.
You might want to think that through, yeah. It doesn't seem like that takes a lot of show prep to figure out.
No, not so much. Not so much. And what was fascinating is all these Democratic strategists today, I heard a couple of them saying, what are for people, he might not have really meant that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and boy.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Speaking of things that don't make any sense, did President Bush actually refer to, did he say this, did he say that the housing market isn't headed for a crash, it is headed for, quote, a soft landing? Hello. Excellent. Fantastic. There you go. That's wonderful.
So compelling.
That's how interesting that question was. I just killed the connection. Let's try this again, shall we? Why, hi, it's Lisa Goddard. Hello.
Hi, I'm sorry about that, guys.
That's okay. I don't know what happened.
My cell phone kicked out.
What is the last thing you heard me say?
I don't remember. I think
I'm clearly holding you enthralled. I was just going to ask if Bush really said this numbskull thing about how the housing market isn't going to crash, it's going to have a soft landing.
Yes, he did. He said it twice. He said it once.
That's like when you're on the plane and they talk about in the event of a water landing. There is no water landing. There's crashing in the ocean. You know what I mean?
Well, it's definitely not the best sign about the overall money market that the Federal Reserve has had to pump out $35 billion in U.S. reserve cash into the market today to keep people from panicking, essentially. And not just a U.S. bank, but the Japanese banks, European banks, are putting in their reserve cash to try and, I explain it sort of because this is all confusing, economist mumbo-jumbo stuff. But essentially, if you think of the economy as a boat and you think of the money market as the water that the boat is on, essentially that water's been draining out. There hasn't been a lot of money. There's been a credit crunch, and it's made a lot of people very nervous. So by pouring out this cash that the Federal Reserve has done overnight and other banks, they're trying to raise the water level back up in the money market. But it's a sign that things are just very tight. People are very nervous about investing because of problems in the mortgage market and elsewhere.
It just seems like one of those phrases that some guy in a room came up with that they're really hoping that people just sort of swallow it without actually listening to it. When you listen to that, it really does sound like they're just trying to cover up something terrible that's about to happen to all of us. So, all right. Do you have big plans for the weekend?
Going to Connecticut for Jason Sporbert's birthday with his Connecticut buddies, and it should be good. A bunch of Yankees up there. I'm more of a Southerner, but I like them.
Tim just gave you the stink eye. Tim just arched an eyebrow in your direction.
Why is that?
Tim is from New Hampshire, so.
New Hampshire is great.
I think you've just raised the ire of one New Englander on this program. That's okay.
I'll tell you this. My mom, I'm a bit of a traitor. My mom is from Boston. I really do love the North, but there's definitely a
You have many friends that are New Hampshire. Yes, okay.
I do, exactly. I have plenty of friends.
I have had New Englanders in my home, Rick.
I was carried in the belly of a New Englander.
That's an interesting phrase. All right.
And true. I'm sorry, Tim. I do. I love the North, but I am of the South. I can't help it.
Oh, it's too late. You're on the blacklist now.
I know. I am tagged. I was just recovering from the Harry Potter situation.
That's okay. Don't dwell on your bleeping today earlier, and I mean that sincerely. That happens to us all. And, in fact, it happens to all of us more frequently than it will ever happen to you, I assure you. So.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Cool.
Enjoy your weekend. Best to you and Sporbert. We'll talk to you soon, Lisa.
Thanks, Rick.
All right. There you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. What an interesting call that was. Got cut off halfway through, had to bleep her. She insulted Tim. It's fantastic. You look like you were weighing whether or not to say something.
No, I believe yesterday I was called snobbish.
I don't think
that was...
Who said that?
You.
Oh. When did I say that? In what context did I say that?
I can't remember. I think it was during a conversation with Lisa again.
Really?
Yeah.
Snobbish.
You were talking about the French president vacationing in New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah.
And he went there because he said it was snobbish.
He fit right in. He'll fit right in New Hampshire because, I mean, really, let's be honest. I mean...
There are a lot of French people in New Hampshire, by the way.
There's
a bilingual state.
I was going to say there's still a lot of European culture in that part of the United States, to my understanding. And I would believe that I'd be correct to say that there is a certain... Sometimes aloofness to the attitude of some people from that part of the country. I think that is a fair statement.
Yeah.
And I might even say that there is a more than your average share of provincial pride in folks in that part of the country. Kristen from accounting's that way, too. Talk about the whatever, Worcester, Massachusetts, you'll cut your legs off. You know what I mean? All right, well, we don't have time to talk about what's in this box. What's in the box? I do have time to take these calls, then we'll break and we'll come back with Tim. We're going to get Matt in a second. Hi, Kirk. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
The Dalles, speaking of French, when the French fur trappers were going up the Columbia River Gorge, they came across a large rapids and Salilo Falls, and the French word for rapids was Dalles. And they originally called it Dalles de Mort, which meant Rapids of Death.
We should totally bring that back.
I think so.
Totally start calling it the Dalles of Death.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so it means the rapids.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Fantastic. And here is Matt. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Well, about the KISS stuff.
Yes.
You just really went tops of my list on that. First, you're talking with the cartoon. I had no idea what the hell you're talking about. And then you saved it all with Gene and Paul calling in.
No, it's cool. I got like 22 different things that they've cut right here. I'm going to wait and play most of them next week. But yeah, being able to and they came to me and they said, look, Gene and Paul are going to be cutting some stuff for the station because you're going to be giving away these Kissology DVDs. And again, I really can't, as a fan, I can't oversell how great these are. They really are very cool DVDs. And they're like, just fill out this form. And then they said those magic words. They're like, what would you like Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley to say, Rick? And then they gave me literally a blank piece of paper. And it just said, write out whatever it is you want Gene and Paul to say. And really, the idea that, I mean, Paul Stanley especially, don't get me wrong, I love Gene Simmons. But Paul Stanley, who is just such a, I don't want to say a hero, but really such an influence on me in so many ways. And just a guy I grew up just idolizing. The idea that for even 5 minutes via a piece of paper when he's in a recording studio, I would get to sort of tell Paul Stanley what to do is just unbelievably weird and great. So, yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah, and my first concert ever, 77, Kiss and Cheap Trick at the Coliseum.
Kiss and Cheap Trick, 77, so that was like, what, like a Live 2 or Love Gun or something?
Yeah, Love Gun tour.
Yeah.
And I wore a white T-shirt so I could get close enough, maybe Gene would spit blood on me.
That is so cool. You know, here's a great story from that tour, and maybe you know the story, maybe you don't. That tour, the Love Gun tour, which was, you know, that was Peter Criss, who we're going to interview next Thursday, and I should ask him about this. They were playing at the L.A. Forum on the Love Gun tour with Cheap Trick. Peter Criss is so drunk, they can't even get him out of the dressing room. He's just, you know, he's just all drunk, and he's on whatever else. And it's like 10 minutes before showtime, and Peter Criss is not in the makeup. Then Gene and Paul are like, you know, come on, you got to get it together. And Peter's like, yeah, can't they get it together? So he finally pulls it together, and they're able to get him on stage. But here was their backup plan. This is totally true, and I've heard Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick tell the story, too, that they were actually preparing to have Bun E. Carlos from Cheap Trick, the guy with, you know, the Wilford Brimley beard and the glasses and who's fat, they were actually painting him up as Peter Criss backstage, and they were going to have Bun E. Carlos from Cheap Trick go out on stage and pretend to be Peter Criss for a night. Like, that would have convinced a blind person.
With his giant drumsticks.
Seriously. I mean, really, I mean, it's just, yeah, there's just no words for how insane that is. I mean, the guy looks like Merlin Olsen, so, all right. Anyway, so don't forget, next Thursday, Peter Criss right here on the show.
Yeah, I need to get in to get one of the Kissology things, too.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Next time I'll tell you the most entertaining testicle story ever.
God bless you. Thank you so much. There you go. That's Matt. All right.
The most entertaining testicle story? Did he just say that?
Yes.
Okay.
Still can't top what Lisa said earlier, which we had to bleep, sadly. What Lisa said was, and I'll have to abbreviate this, we were talking about the things you can say on the air and the things you can't. And she'd said, blah, 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 on his ass or whatever. And then, but then she used the P word, like the urination.
Potty?
Well, sort of. As in two potty. Yeah, she used the P word like you might, the P word that refers to your number one bathroom activity. And I said, no, you really can't say that. And so what she actually, and I said, you know, it depends on, you know, from person to person, but on the air, you know, we can't really use that word. And so Lisa Goddard from CNN said, so Rick, what you're telling me is one man's A is another man's P, except she used the actual words. And it really is the best thing she's ever said, and I had to bleep it, sadly. It'll probably show up on the podcast, though, so you can listen there. All right, we should take a break. We'll come back. Tim Riley around the corner. We have this exciting gift that's been dropped off that we'll talk about here in a bit. The Fortified Wine Tasting is going to be coming up later on today. Aaron, Geek
when are we
going to
start
Duran.
That? We've got to get Scotty started.
Baby, there's been no time.
Maybe you can just sip on something while Tim does his news. Little mad dog.
You don't even know what I brought. You wait till you see it.
Oh.
Wait till you see what I got. Oh, and I brought hors d'oeuvres to go with the wine too. It'll be fantastic. All right, back after this, the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming along. 503-733-2970. All these people saying they can't quit singing Chocolate Rain. You want to hear the best Chocolate Rain email? Then we'll talk about fortified wine. Then we'll begin the news area. The best email you're going to hear all day. Rick, thanks for nothing. I had to wait a couple of hours to allow myself to calm down before I wrote this email. Tonight, this is last night, Thursday, tonight on a third date with a girl I've been hoping to get with for quite some time. The rest of this email is a little blue. I was receiving a special demonstration of affection last night. I think I've cracked your code, sir. I was receiving a special demonstration of affection from this girl last night, Rick, when the Chocolate Rain song rammed its way into my head. I began laughing uncontrollably and destroying the mood. I tried to explain to my date that my laughter had nothing to do with her talents or abilities and that the song had been going through my head since I first heard it. She wasn't having any of it. She grabbed her stuff and left, humiliated. I don't think I will ever see her again. Thanks for ruining my life. Glad we could help. All right. Before we do anything else...
Well, it sucks because if people don't know about the song and it gets stuck in your head, and I'm sitting there walking around singing Chocolate Rain.
What song could you be talking about, Sarah?
I don't know, Rick.
What to whatever song could you be referring? We could... that's my fault. No, that's me.
It's so quiet.
Scotty J. His jokes barely register as lame Scotty J. Buys his underwear used on eBay, Scotty J.
Scotty J, if you please join us in the studio.
Like the strippers upstairs at Dante, Scotty J. Screens the calls and makes Rick go insane, Scotty J. Pillow wall keeps him from getting laid, Scotty J.
Hello, Scotty J.
How's it going?
Be funny, how are you?
But he tries doing it anyway, great.
Scotty J.
You having a fantastic day?
Fantastic. I got a fresh pair of underwear off of eBay.
All right. It's only going to get better. So your wife dropped you off today?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. This morning I was unclear about this. I thought I saw your
massive... I was kind of mad at you.
Yeah, Sarah was sort of... she was irritated, and I was just sort of disappointed because I thought I saw your behemoth truck in the parking lot, but I guess it was somebody else.
I would think you'd be excited about the fact that you get to drink at work. I mean, what jobs do you get to actually be encouraged to get drunk at work at?
Just here and the airlines, apparently. So, all right. So, Scotty J, because it was your birthday earlier this week and because the city, and of course, because we operate as a news program and we comment on public happenings, social happenings, things that impact us here in Portland, we comment on them in the public interest, convenience, and necessity as mandated by the Federal Communications Commission. And so, since there's a big push on now in Vancouver and in Portland, certain segments of the cities anyway, to eliminate fortified wine, I don't feel that we can adequately comment on this burning social issue without having, some sort of knowledge of this product. Don't we all agree?
Yes. So now
yes.
We wanna,
yes. Okay. See?
Now you want to comment on the burning of it going down the,
yes,
the throat.
So, hold on. Now, I didn't have a...
Is Scotty going to have a shot?
He brought a cooler in.
I didn't have access to a card table, so I have this cooler back here. So what I've done...
Please say we're starting the news hour with the shot.
Tim? All right, so what we have is we're just going to give an overview of what we got, and then I apologize, we're just running so behind here, but I'm going to give an overview of what we got, Scotty, and we'll just start things off real slowly, and we'll sort of ramp up as the day goes on, and then we'll begin the news.
I think we should start him off with Scotty Yeager.
And then you'll kick me to the curb, right?
Yes, we will, that's right. Hold on, so
push me off the door now, walk home.
Let me get our serving glasses out. These cost me 99 cents at the Winco. So, fantastic. Let me just open these up here. Let me get out a few glasses. All right, there you go. All right, so I'm just going to give a brief overview of the fine wines with which we are graced today.
Fine wines. I want to know the years of these wines, too.
I went to great expense.
Oh, stop.
I went to great expense.
He did, and I'm sorry I totally dropped the ball, Rick. Rick called me last night to ask if I could bring boxed wine, and I forgot.
We were going to ask her to bring some Franzia, but that didn't happen. So here's what we've got. Our first wine, served ice chilled, Night Train Express.
Oh, my God, I'm going to throw
up. Night Train!
Citrus wine and natural flavors, vented by Night Train Limited, Modesto, California. Who wants to guess the alcohol content of this fine wine?
Oh, 16.5.
17.5%, right there. Night Train Express.
How'd you
all right,
know,
please
Sarah?
Crack it.
Hold on. You got to see what else we've got here. And then we'll let Tim choose what Scotty starts with. Let's see, what else do we have?
That reminds me of high school. That Night Train makes me want to vomit.
Next up, we have.
Just thinking about it does.
The color of this one is what really sells. We'll have to get a photograph of this.
Oh boy.
You know what? That would look great in a bar. I just never opened it.
China by
I was just going to ask Tim.
I think Scotty being comfortable with that.
Tim, what color would you say this is? I mean, how would you even describe this?
Aqua.
But it glows. It's like it's nuclear. Or something.
It's like those frozen. Popsicle.
It's like an otter pop, right?
Yeah. It's a blue otter pop.
This is Boone's Farm Blue Hawaiian, and this is sort of a cheese food thing. It's
very festive.
Ooh, I'm going to like that one.
It's not wine. It's flavored apple wine product.
Ooh.
Wine-like substance. Right there.
Made from aqua apples.
All right, there you go. That's bottle number two.
We fermented whatever we could find in the backyard.
Hold on. We're not done. Let's see. Bottle number... There's so much alcohol in here.
There really is.
The fridge is just full of beer and Jägermeister. Bottle number three, Thunderbird.
Oh, yuck.
The American classic.
That looks disgusting.
17.5
for last, Scotty, when you run out of everything else.
This apparently is citrus wine with natural flavors and caramel color. I've consumed Yummy. Thunderbird in the past. I had a record rep give me a bottle
Does
of it.
Does it taste like Night Train?
It tastes like
play
death.
Our record for
it
us.
It tastes like death and pain.
Here's some Thunderbird. Play
like.
Our record.
It tastes like really, really terrible
gasoline.
Like fermented citrusy wine. Like if you had like a regular citrusy white wine that you let go rotten for like a year, and then you chilled it. Mixed with like Gatorade or something. So
if
we have.
You were living in Russia and having a special occasion. You would drink that.
And finally, Scotty, no fortified wine tasting is complete without this.
Oh.
Mad Dog 2020.
Oh no.
This is the orange Jubilee
that
flavor.
That's sort of refreshing.
Looks like something for the kids.
So we've got Night Train, Boone's Farm, Thunderbird, and Mad Dog. Oh, and then I've got a reserve. Hold on.
Did this come out of the promotion budget?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Our entire
I bet his hors d'oeuvres are cheese whiz and something like
no,
that.
No, I couldn't find any spray cheese. These are Lunchables turkey and cheddar stackers.
Oh, you get to make your own, Scotty.
Right there.
Scotty, it's a gourmet lunch for you.
All right,
gourmet.
Scotty. So would you like to know how much all four bottles of wine cost me total?
I think this whole display, this
Don't
whole...
count the Lunchables. They were the most expensive thing here.
So like dining in Paris.
Yeah. How much do you used to think these four bottles of wine cost me?
Under $15.
$13.
Oh,
and that was at a convenience store where they charge markup, okay? That was it. And
that's
by the
terrific.
Way, all of them available within a block of my home. Because I told her.
You into the plan?
Well, I told Sarah, I'm like, I don't know where to go. And then I told Laura, I'm like, hey, so we should get in the car and go find. She's like, sweetie, down the street. Until we walked literally like half a block from our home. Right there.
And all these stolen cars are ran out of gas, so
I should
in front of the liquor store.
I should say, by the way, not at the Plaid Pantry. Mm. I should say that for the record, and that's true. Not at the Plaid Pantry. Plaid Pantry is a classy
joint.
No, it's upscale there. They had the Arbor Mist. All right. So, Scotty, what is your pleasure? It's program assistant director's choice.
Pad.
Yes. Where do you wish to start today, Scotty? You have your Night Train.
No, I'd say start with the worst.
Night Train, Boone's Farm, Thunderbird.
That is just disgusting, though.
I know. What do you think is the worst?
The worst? I think, I'm gonna rank them.
Well, okay. I can tell you, by the way, if you want to know.
I'm going to rank the worst.
The Boone's Farm has the lowest alcohol content.
You don't want that, Scotty.
The Mad Dog is probably the worst.
Well, I would say Thunderbird, and then...
Are you going from bottom to top? Like worst,
no, I'd
to,
say,
worst to best?
I'm going from top to bottom. Thunderbird, worst... I'd say Night Train is up there, second worst. Well, I'm on the Night Train.
Don't do that.
And MD is three, and that last one, actually, the blue popsicle one, looks pretty good.
Okay, so where would you like to start?
I would like to start at the number one worst.
Yeah.
I don't even remember how you ranked them. Tell me what
Thunderbird.
Thunderbird?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Let's crack it open.
I can just tell it's going to burn my gut.
Hell, you'll be fine.
Wait, hold on. Oh, my God.
All right, I never smell. I need to smell that.
All right, I'm going to be the sole pourer today to avoid any accidents.
All right.
I'll be the sole...
So you're keeping it legal.
I thought the wine steward, is that what I'm called?
Yes.
Sir, would you like to slosh it around and smell the... Would you like to sense the nose?
Smell the cap, Scotty.
Let me smell the cap.
Smell the cap. Here, smell the bottle.
Oh, it's...
Yeah.
No, that's a good place to start then, Scotty.
I can't believe you bought little plastic cups.
It kind of makes you want to hurl just smelling it.
Wait, hold on. Let me get the sound of the pour.
All right, Scotty, take it like a man.
Hold on.
I'm only going to take a taster.
No, you're going to have to...
No.
Don't be a wimp.
A pussy. We're being... Now, say again, I will pour today so we avoid spills. All right, Scotty. Don't set that on the counter.
I took a little taste.
Have a little more.
Finish it, Scotty.
Finish it like a man.
I mean, it's
Come
not,
on, be
it's
a man.
It's not horrific.
Be a man.
If this is the worst, it's going to be a great day.
All right. Just finish that off.
Come on, open your mouth.
Come on, be a man. Don't be a sissy. Finish it off.
Open your mouth and let the train go through. No, this is the bird flying through. Open your
inner
bird.
Blue bird of drunkenness.
And he's sitting right next to me, by
the
way.
Come on, finish it.
But then come on, Scotty.
All right, excellent.
There he goes.
How do you feel? Does it burn? What are your immediate sensations?
My immediate sensation is to take a lighter and blow my breath out in the air and shoot fire across the room.
Is the cigarette sounding pretty good right now?
No, not yet. No,
he'd explode. No, he'd catch fire, literally. Yeah, his lungs would actually immolate. All right, you want one more before you go?
No, you can retire that for ever.
Oh, no, you'll have more of that later. Do you want another one before you go?
Yeah.
No. One for the road. One for the walk back to your office. You want another Thunderbird or you want to try something else?
Do you want to try the night train?
I can let the audience
pick. Let's take a little ride on the night train real fast.
I'm going to use the same glass.
Take a ride on the night train.
All right,
take a ride on the night train.
I wish we had that song, Night Train.
Oh, we do. I'll break it out for you.
This is even worse. Check that out.
Just for you.
I can't even
smell that. That actually smells better because it's cranberry-ish.
The last time I touched Night Train was 10 years ago, and I will not even get near that stuff.
This is like the low-budget tasting room. Like the ghetto tasting room with Rick Emerson. All right, Scotty, there's a little Night Train for you. This is a public service, by the
way. Okay, it has a cranberry froth to it.
Cranberry froth.
And a slight burning of rubbing alcohol in my throat.
Pungent. It stings the nostrils. Brian, I've got to tell you.
That's like we
Welcome to Scotty's Speakeasy.
This was a good year.
All right, finish.
Last week, probably.
Finish it, please.
Oh.
Actually, that almost came back
okay.
out.
Seriously, that one was fighting to get back out.
Almost on my sleeve.
That was fighting to get back out, I saw it.
Nope, it was delicious.
All right, we'll bring you back a little later for some Mad Dog. Thank you, Scotty.
Please don't.
Scotty's on the night train, ladies and gentlemen.
I think we might need some sawdust a little later.
That pink stuff? Yes. You're on the, you're heading into the Ministry of Truth.
You're on the night train.
Tim Riley.
970. Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, luckily, my recycling bin is next to his feet.
Did you see? You hear that phrase?
Oh, I heard that swallow. That was like, it's not going to stay down.
Like the stomach was already protesting. Uh-huh. Like, you know, you'll hear that people say, you know, like, oh, I threw up a little bit in my mouth or whatever, which is from some movie. What movie is that from? It's like Dodgeball, I think.
Yeah, it is when Ben Stiller's hitting on her.
But that's a phrase that gets overused a lot. But you know what? Scotty did look like he was throwing up in his mouth, actually.
There's plenty of time.
Yeah. That night train really, it's like the body was already, yeah, that train came back for a second pass right away.
The worst part is he's sitting elbow to elbow with me.
Excellent. Fantastic.
And I have to ride public transportation home after being vomited on.
I wish people could have the visual of like him drinking out of, you know, like a keg cup, basically.
Yeah.
Full of night
Excellent.
Train.
Not everyone's fortunate enough to work with Scotty.
Yeah. People are yelling at us. Well, one guy is saying, you should have done this on a Thursday so we could see Scotty the next day. But you know what? We see Scotty the next day all the time. I mean, really, every day is the night after a bender, or the day after a bender. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, pillow fights usually don't happen outdoors, but that's exactly what happened in downtown Portland last night. About 100 people converged on Pioneer Courthouse Square when organizers described as a flash mob event. The plan was for everyone to pull out their pillows and start whacking away at 6 p.m., but police had other ideas. They told the group their pillow fight was illegal without a permit, and the square was already in use for another event. Negotiations ensued. The combatants agreed to move to O'Brien Square several blocks away. No injuries reported in that
flash mob rumble.
Did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk.
Pull out your pillow and start whacking it.
Well, there's sort all we can do that.
That's sort of a that's sort of an updated take off your pants and jacket.
Understandable.
And your jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. Would Monsieur like to take off his pants and jacket?
Well, a judge has ruled that a lady who used a stolen credit card to buy a winning scratcher has no right to that $1 million prize.
Scratcher?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I was waiting for it.
I barely knew her.
Sorry.
Jackson County Judge Ray White has ruled that the winnings were illegal and had to be forfeited under Oregon law. Apparently, this lady named Christina Gudinov of White City,
wonder what kind of people live there,
used a credit card that belonged to her then-boyfriend's dead mother. Her ex-boyfriend's dead mother.
Classy.
To buy a lucky lottery ticket at the Center Point Market in October 2005.
I wonder what that conversation, if it was just sort of a, well, baby, how are we going to buy some scratch-offs? And then there's like a long silence. And it was a, wait a minute, don't you have a dead mother? And, you know, did she have any of her things left behind? Let's rifle through.
So apparently this woman asked lottery officials to keep her win quiet, claiming to be the victim of domestic violence.
Uh-huh.
But police learned about the crime about 2 weeks later, because this woman continued to use the stolen credit card of the dead mother. Let's see. Oregon Lottery has already paid her $33,500 for the first 20 annual payments. She spent the majority of that money, including a big chunk. Let's see. So she pleads no contest to forgery, cheating, and aggravated theft. She maintains she bought the winning ticket with cash from her own pocket. She now plans to appeal. So, besides being stripped of her winnings, the judge sentenced this woman to a month in jail. But she was given credit for 6 months. She had already served time for possessing methamphetamine.
Of course. I mean, that's like you can tag any story from that area with that phrase.
A woman whose nude body was found along Highway 30 over the weekend has been identified as a 25-year-old from Idaho. The victim is Misty Levon Duvani. Sounds very French. She arrived in Portland with a prostitution background by a Greyhound bus just a few days before her body was found.
Is this sort of like a Portland News Mad Libs? Because they're all here. Prostitution, Clackamas, meth, dead mother, Greyhound bus.
I mean, whacking and whatnot.
Sort of like we just have like a refrigerator magnet version of our crime stories.
Well, poor Misty Levon Duvani had lived in Portland before and had a history that included prostitution and drugs. She was in custody as of April of 2005. So, let's see. Yeah, her nude body was found in Scappoose, of all places. What a place to meet. I suppose it's better than Idaho. Two cousins accused of killing a teenager during a visit to Oregon acknowledged that they entered this country illegally from Mexico. That from the feds. It says, we can't cover every jail in the United States, says Lori Dankers, an immigration spokeswoman, noting her agency also relies on local law enforcement agencies to notify the immigration agency when they get inmates with questionable residency status.
How's that working out?
Well, after their arrest in the murder case, these two cousins told a federal immigration officer they had been in the United States illegally for 6 months. But in Clackamas County, where hundreds of jail inmates are released early every month because of overcrowding, illegal aliens could be booked and released before immigration authorities ever get to speak to them.
Now, I don't know if this is true, but I read in the, I believe, the Oregonian reported today that these guys had already been pulled over by the cops numerous times. They had like 8 run-ins with the law.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I mean, maybe color me simple and stupid here, but I don't understand what's so difficult about this.
Well, Oregon law prohibits local police from actively searching out illegal aliens, but the rules change when foreigners land in jail. If local authorities find reason to believe that person is deportable, they may notify the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. Like, that's going to do any good.
But I mean,
like they're going to arrive.
Seriously, I mean, that's the thing, but they didn't seek these guys out. These guys got hit like 7 or 8, 9 times for vehicular crimes, I believe.
Yep.
The cops said, hey, where are your papers? And it was a lot of like, well, I'm an illegal. And the cops were like, well, don't do it again. You get into a tricky area when you start saying stuff like this, but I don't understand really what is so difficult about this. I know that people say, well, if you send them back over the border, they're just going to come back, as opposed to what? I mean, you know, that sort of seems to be the process with everybody we send to prison, and it doesn't stop us from doing that. So I don't know why there isn't, like, one bus that leaves every week from the jail that just takes you back and kicks you back into the country you came from. I mean,
it'd be a great idea.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you, I mean,
but people have been told to turn their back on this.
And
stuff,
I'm not
so
trying to act like a jingoist or anything. I'm just saying, if you get busted for something, and you know, as somebody once said, if you didn't sign the book on the way in, then you know what? You go into a holding cell, and once a week, there's a bus that just you stick them all on, and you go and you kick them back into their country. And you know what? You got to go back to go and start again.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Well, the space shuttle has docked with the International Space Station, so that the teacher will set up her blackboard and start teaching any time now. Meanwhile, don't know if you heard about this or not. It's very interesting. NASA experts are analyzing film, trying to learn why three pieces of foam debris came out of the space shuttle fuel tank during Wednesday's launch. It's all because they put a teacher in space, possibly striking the orbiter. NASA spokesman John Shannon said the pieces were very small,
uh-huh,
and only one is even worth remotely studying.
Whether it caused damage or not, we will find out in great detail during the rendezvous, so I'm just suspending judgment.
Yeah, forget about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
It's not on your watch.
I'm sure it's nothing. Nothing's going to happen to anybody in space or anything. It's not like it's going to cause any trouble. That never happens.
Little pieces of foam that break away are very typical.
It was the standard very small foam losses that we've seen in the past.
Every story like this, though, every story that has some horrific outcome, something explodes, something melts down, something a bomber inadvertently gets sent to rain nuclear death on Moscow and Peter Fonda can't call them back, every one of these stories starts with, it was a 79-cent capacitor. You know what I mean? Every single one of these, all through the 80s we heard these. There was a 49-cent diode in Akron, Ohio that burned out, causing a near-fatal blah, blah, blah. And every one of these, it's never anything big that happens. It's always some tiny little 3-square-inch piece of plastic that falls off something, and then, you know, you end up creating, you know, like a, you know, just a big raining ball of death with that.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens when they come home.
Have fun.
I mean, this teacher will repeat the alphabet after me, and ba-boom, nobody will be able to respond. NASA said the debris appears to be much smaller than immediately thought.
The report initially was that you got a spray of debris from this area. And, of course, that brings up images of Columbia and the spray you saw there. And I would tell you this was not even remotely of the same magnitude.
I was going to say, spray of debris in the shuttle brings up memories of something other than a Columbia. But, you know, I know he has to be polite when he talks. And I know he's probably not supposed to say it.
Doesn't want to hurt any feelings.
No, of course not.
The investigation continues after a woman and a 4-year-old girl were injured and several other people hurt at a monster truck demonstration in DeKalb, Illinois. The monster truck was rolling over and crushing cars when it jumped into the crowd.
Please tell me it was the Gravedigger.
Fire Chief Lanny Russell said the two victims both have head injuries, but they're doing much better than yesterday.
The latest reports I got last night was that they were improving slightly and were expected to recover.
Melissa Dolderer witnessed the crash when she was in the crowd.
Oh, it was chaos. I was crying and everything. It was like, because I think, if I'm mistaken, with the group of people over there, I knew somebody got a hit over there.
Somebody got a hit.
She left before they passed out the free camels.
And maybe, look, I don't wish to be finger pointing at this early stage in the story's development, but maybe if there's like a truck that's 7 stories high and going 100 miles an hour, you might want to stand back a piece, as you say there. Didn't we have this story a couple weeks ago where there was a bunch of people lining the road for some street race?
Yeah.
Look, hey, some cars are going to be going 500 miles an hour, and by the way, they weigh 2,000 pounds and they're made of steel and glass. Let's stand right next to the road. All right. Oh, but I think it's time for, and I think I speak for all of us here. I think it's time for another,
Another shot?
Yes.
Scotty J. His jokes barely register as lame Scotty J. Buys his underwear used on eBay, Scotty J.
Hello, Scotty J. How are you feeling?
Doing great,
Rick. I think
he's
already drunk.
I am, actually. Those two little shots.
You are flushed.
No, I know. Those two little shots are worse than having, like, 4 Johnny Walker Black and Cokes.
Count backward from, I was going to say from Z. I sound like a drunk. Count backward from Z. Please to be reciting the alphabet backward.
I can't do that. Z. Y. W. No. Z. Y. X. W. V. You. I can't do it on a normal day,
Lily. You're not drunk. No, you're fine.
He's not drunk at all.
All right, so you've had Night Train. You've had Thunderbird. We've got Boone's Farm, which has a relatively low alcohol content.
I'm saving that for last because it looks the best.
We've also got Jaeger, by the way. Let's not forget that.
Oh, do you want to do a Jaeger shot, Scotty?
Yes. You should.
Let's do a Jaeger shot.
Yeah, Tim the boy. Tim
you
is like
let.
The devil on your shoulder.
You keep saying let.
Oh, not me.
Then go upstairs and visit the gals in the secretarial pool.
Hey.
Just like in Mad Men.
Hey there. Hey there, sweet thing. You want to take some dictation?
I work in the basement.
I think he should have to finish all the, or, you know, try all the wine before he moves to Jaeger.
I think he should have another big cup of Night Train.
You can do Night Train.
I'm telling you right now.
Night Train or Thunderbird, Scotty.
And crack the Mad Dog.
I'm like seeing Tweety Bird stars already. That stuff is rank.
Well, here, just to sort of settle it, have an hors d'oeuvre.
It's so sub below my standards, Rick.
I was giving him an hors d'oeuvre. That's
sub below your standards.
That looks very tasty.
That's cheddar and turkey and a Ritz.
Oh, boy.
That's your lunchable hors d'oeuvre there.
Mm.
Well, you should eat while you're drinking.
All right, Scotty. You choose. Choose, I'll be chosen. Choose and perish.
A little more Night Train, I guess.
Fantastic. Well done.
Oh, Scotty.
Way to be a man.
So proud of you.
All right.
It's disgusting. I can't even concentrate on the podcast right now.
Hold on.
Oh, the podcast.
And my Night Ranger top five, by the way.
All right, there you go.
Oh, that was a big pour, Rick.
That's not very much, is it?
No.
Well,
I'm not
going to
finish that much.
Finish half, and I'll pour the rest back in.
Finish it now, Scotty.
Scotty, come on. You're not driving.
You know darn well. All right. You know darn well that
if you drink early,
there's not going to be any germs.
If you drink early, you won't be hungover tomorrow. Just drink the bulk of it now.
Well, that's true.
That's actually not that much. It's just because the glass is so narrow.
It's
an optical illusion, Scotty.
It's like a Dixie cup, dude. Yeah.
Okay, it's like a little shot glass.
Pull the Night Train back out. What's the proof? I want to hear the proof.
Well, I don't know what the proof is, but it's 17%.
It doesn't say
that's
proof.
That's 34 proof.
Okay.
That's not very much.
That's 34
And Johnny
proof.
Walker's like 40-something.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Bottoms up.
But it tastes so much better.
Ah, that's smooth, isn't it?
Halfway gone. Excellent. Let's finish the other half. We'll take a break. No, you got to finish it.
No, you got to pour that in because this stuff is rank.
But finish that, and then we'll go on to something else. We'll wash it out with
the
something.
This is the one day that you get to drink.
I'm not going to be able to talk by the end.
No, it's fine. Okay. We'll give you something good tasting later.
Yeah. We'll give you
something. We'll give you a special treat.
we got some moxie for you.
I can do backflips.
I can smell the alcohol over here.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay.
You're a trooper, Scotty.
You'll be done with the Night Train.
Good. I'm done with the Night Train.
No. We'll give you this orange.
I'm stepping off. I'm walking down the stairs of the train now.
Later, we'll give you some of this orange Jubilee.
That looks like a magic elixir.
Yes, it really does. Elixir. Hi. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Hi.
Rick, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, brother?
So, let me get this straight. You guys are, celebrating Scotty J's birthday by forcing him to drink alone?
I don't think we
have. You make it sound so terrible.
Seriously. And
he's among friends.
By the way,
we're watching him drink.
We're not having to force him very hard. And this is, by the way, now this is a social and and news oriented segment here because these are the wines that they are
teaching children.
And you know what? These are the wines that the government of Portland and Vancouver are currently trying to eliminate from many sections of the neighborhood. And I feel that we need to understand these substances and these products so that we can weigh in as concerned electorate.
Well, if that happens, I mean, what are the high school kids going to be able to afford?
No, it's true. And by the way, Scotty's not drinking alone. I mean, he's the only one consuming alcohol, but there are other people here at least.
He's sitting right next to me.
Yeah, as opposed to, you know, the way it normally is, which is him slumped in the corner of some dimly lit saloon somewhere with a floozy coming
out. Hiding out in his makeshift bar in the basement.
Some barmaid.
I think y'all at least need to have one drink with them.
Well, I can't. I'm signed on.
No, it's unfortunately. Well, who will... Now, see, we're here to provide the record.
Maybe we can get Bozek, too.
Or perhaps Aaron Geek in the City Duran will be in the studio later. Oh, wait, he will. So you got that.
I think you ought to at least go around the studio or somewhere.
You know, Fat Boy might be down for that,
victim,
too.
One more victim.
You know, when Bozek... I think Bozek is off the air at KUFO in a while, and then Court and Fat Boy are going to be in at about the same time, so we may be able to have them do it. So, excellent. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye.
Bye now. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick.
Hey.
So, yeah, it's probably safe to be saying the podcast isn't going to be up today.
It'll be up. I wouldn't look for it to be in the right order.
It'll be upside down.
Labeled correctly. Yeah.
So just repeat like tomorrow. You'll just repeat yesterday's show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that kind of happens one out of every 4 days now. So, yeah. All right. Bye now.
Excellent.
All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, what you need to get is a breathalyzer for every four drinks.
You know, I thought I used to have one of those.
I have one at my house.
Oh, really? I used to have one of those electronic breathalyzers, but I forgot to bring it in. Yeah. Well, all right. Thank you. One more, and then we'll break. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rob. What's
Rob.
Up?
Rob.
Hey, I'm drinking Wiscotti. So far, I've had three.
Okay, what are you drinking?
Well, I'm drinking beer, and then every time he does a Jaeger, I'll do a shot of Luskova vodka.
Okay.
Do you have anybody that can drive you down here, Rob, to come keep Scotty company?
Oh, no.
No, that's...
Oh, no, I don't think so. I actually started before the show today. My day off.
And, well, you know, it's because you're productive. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess.
You don't need to wait for us. You're a man who goes out and you... Some guys make their luck. You make your drunkenness.
Hey, when you're trying to get the world's biggest liver, it takes dedication.
Excellent. Thank you. There you go, our good friend Rob. We can take a break here. Come back after this. More of Tim Riley around the corner. Later on, we'll do the top five. Aaron Geek in the City. Duran will be here. Something else. It seemed like there was some other thing. Oh, yes. Jim Roop. Jim Roop will be here as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Nothing will ever be the same. Yeah, that station. Like you understand. Why? Hello there, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. More of your phone calls coming up in a second. Tim Riley continues with the news momentarily. Later on, Jim Roop, Aaron Geek in the City Duran. But right now it's time to...
Comes into work hungover every day, Scotty J. No one's quite sure what he does all day, Scotty J. Wears assless chaps and dances in the rain, Scotty J. Likes to drink his juice with Tanqueray, Scotty J.
Hi, Scotty J, how are you?
Doing great, Rick.
Oh, there's the voice. There.
Great.
Oh, no. And so it begins.
It begins. I was just going to say. Oh, that's fantastic. All right. Now, I told you we'd have something better tasting
special,
for you.
Something
yeah.
special.
Well, to wash out the taste of the night train. But before we do anything else, Sarah, did you want to...
No,
you sure
I don't know.
You don't want to have a whiff of your old friend, Mr. Night Train?
All right.
You should actually... You know what? Once you have, like... three or four shots like I have of that. It
Scotty,
tastes,
I'm...
It starts tasting
I'm sorry.
Really?
No.
Scotty, I'm signed on as the board operator. I can't.
That's true. How would you describe the taste of the night train, Scotty?
Well...
Yeah, I was trying to describe it to Kiki. I'm like, because she's never heard of night train. I'm like...
You have fire.
It's so
first time around, it's like... cranberry juice and gasoline. Second time around, it's like cranberry juice and
roses?
Well, it's starting to get there. I think if I had another night train, it would be like roses.
Done and done.
No, I don't want night train.
Now, Scotty.
You just said that you wanted to.
You just wanted some more.
Okay, a little bit.
All right, thank you.
I stepped off that train.
Okay. All right, I'll smell.
Well, Sarah, why don't you come here and give a smell to your friend,
I don't know
Mr.
if
night.
I can. I'm
Mr. Right. Night Train doesn't judge you, Sarah. Mr. Night Train loves you just the way you are.
No. I don't know if I could do it.
Mr. Night Train thinks you're perfect just the way you are.
I tell you what, though, that Mad Dog stuff looks like just...
No, it's very soothing. It has orange juice in it.
It looks hurlish. Hurlish. Hurlishkus.
All right.
Okay.
Pretty soon you're going to be holding oranges up to your face. All right.
Do you have that picture?
Sarah, why don't you come here and just have a little sniff of... Come on, it's been too long since you and Mr. Night Train have talked.
It's actually not as bad as you think, Sarah.
Yeah, really? Sarah.
It's invigorating. Look, I took one for the team.
Scotty's taking three for the team. Sarah is actually walking towards the bottle very
slowly.
Nervously.
I've never seen her, like, you know, stop and like, two
this
steps
This is like
forward.
That scene in Heathers. I knew this stuff would be too hardcore for you, Heather.
I can't believe you did the whole bottle. That's
Sarah
disgusting.
Sarah's staring down the whole bottle.
Okay.
Taking a sniff.
It's not so bad.
No.
Oh, my
No, no.
God.
Oh, my God. She had a,
well,
a little
that
bit
was
of
a visceral reaction.
She had a dry hurl reaction there.
All right. Well, let's just give some more to Scotty.
How could you say that about my night train?
Oh, man.
Scotty,
my eyes just water.
More. Scotty's just having a little bit more of the night train, and then we'll give you some orange Jubilee to wash the taste out.
Sorry.
That'll make your train
not that
time, Scotty.
It's a train lubricant.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to miss
it's
the train.
It's a little train that can.
You know, we really need to play Night Train.
Oh, I have it. I have Night Train by Guns N' Roses queued up.
Can we hear it while
we'll
I drink it?
We'll take it into the break.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it while you drink?
Well, it'll make it good.
Did you pour him an ample glass?
Hold on. I'm sorry, Tim.
It was an express
We're running train. So behind, Tim. I'm sorry.
I understand.
All right, Scotty. Go.
Do it,
go,
Scotty.
Go.
We got to wait for the chorus. Right when he says
Please.
The chorus.
Why are you making all these excuses? Just drink.
Just finish it.
Because it's curdelicious. Okay, here we go.
Come on. Wait
He's
for the chorus. Finish.
Drink it.
Finish it.
Disgusting.
Rick, you just poured him like a splash.
Wait, hold on.
Ooh, I'm going to do it with him. Here we go.
I'm on the night train. I'm on the night train.
For real.
I'm on the night train.
We're not kidding.
Alright. Alright,
That's disgusting.
Let's just give you a little orange to wash that out of your mouth, and then we'll do some more news.
Yeah.
Alright. I want to give Tim time to
prepare. Oh, crack the Mad Dog.
The almost live podcast is going to be...
Ever. Hold on.
Ever so almost.
Hold on.
Yesterday.
There you go. I don't have a Mad Dog
I hope
dog
you just
song.
Poured a little... Okay.
I don't have a Mad Dog.
That isn't... Rick, you're being too nice to him.
No, you need to keep it to that level, because, I mean...
I figure this way he can do it in, like, a shot. You know?
Okay.
Plus,
yeah, right.
You know. Okay, yeah, so just... All
Let's
right.
taste this first.
Wait, hold on, I'll give you this while you're doing the Mad Dog, though.
Is that refreshing? It looks refreshing.
Hell of a lot better.
Yeah. Well, let's...
Mad Dog is with the orange.
All right, come on.
For all you people that want to go buy this today, I highly recommend MD 2020 orange flavor. It goes down so smooth. Tastes like Tang with a...
I think it was a little more, Rick. Just a little
no,
more.
No, I don't. It tastes like Tang with a twang.
So the astronauts in the space station probably... All right.
Thank you, Scotty. All right, we'll have you back in a while. All right, enjoy that.
No, thank you.
There you go, Scotty. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
My goodness. Well, overweight employees may soon have to pay their employers. ABC News reports that some employers are seeking ways to curb increased health costs by charging a fee to their overweight employees if they don't drop the pounds. The same strategy is being used at companies that penalize smokers by charging them more for health insurance. Critics of the move say employers are going too far when it means that coming to work means weigh-ins. They warn that the overweight fees could violate the Americans with Disabilities Act, that states employees can't discriminate on the basis of health. Critics say punishment through financial penalties is not a good way to solve the current obesity crisis. Instead, companies should provide incentives and wellness programs.
Yes, because that's going to work really well with Americans. Americans respond really well to the gentle prodding to lose weight.
Well, not only are those of us who live on the west side going to be hostages in our own home watching the planes crash over the weekend.
That's Tim Riley who said that.
But bikers and walkers are going to take over the Portland bridges on Sunday. This is the 12th annual Providence Bridge Pedal. Bikers and walkers will be using traffic lanes on 10 of the bridges that span the Willamette in Portland.
One of those people you're cursing, by the way, on Sunday is going to be my wife. She's doing that.
Let's see. It's also emphasized that several of the involved bridges, including the Broadway, Morrison, and St. John's, will remain open to cars in both directions. Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It really does, doesn't it? All you're going to need is one, you know, one idiot biker or one guy in a panel van who is either angry or driving badly or both. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a whole lot of disaster.
So anyway, a lot of these bridges are going to be closed.
I know. It's weird. I think I don't think Becca does it. She did it last year, though. And the weird thing is, if you are a biker in this bridge pedal, yeah, they close a lot of these bridges.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because it is kind of actually cool in a way, because if you're a biker on one of these bridges, it's one of your only chances really to just stand on the bridge and sort of just take the time to really enjoy it, or stand on top of the Fremont Bridge or something when it's not, you know, when there's no traffic.
Or flashing devil horns.
Yes, doing that, or watching a large chunk of cement peel away from the underside as you contemplate your imminent doom. Let's see here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Good morning.
Hi.
Afternoon, whatever it happens
to be. How are you doing?
Hi, it's Andy. I'm way more hungover right now than Scotty's ever going to be, no matter how much he drinks.
Uh-huh.
Because after you ruined my life last night when my date stormed out of the house, thank you.
Oh, wait, is this that Andy?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that this was you. So this is the Andy who sent us the email about how there was a woman you'd been pursuing who was favoring you with a certain kind of sexual pleasure, and then you began giggling uncontrollably because of the Chocolate Rain song, and she left.
It was the most... I was so frustrated. I was just pissed off, and then I had to laugh, and then I was pissed off. After she left, I just grabbed my bottle and started to drink.
Fantastic. What was your drink of choice, sir?
It was just a bottle of the cheapest whiskey and 7-Up you can find.
Excellent. So sort of like a 7-7 kind of a thing?
Yes, sir. But then the bad thing is about 11 o'clock I got paged because and I had to go to work in Battleground. I had to go to Battleground.
Well,
I got
home
at like 5 o'clock this morning.
I like how you're skipping right over the part where you actually had to drunkenly drive to Battleground. It's to you, the downside is that you feel bad today.
That would be wrong to do that, though.
Yes,
and then
of course. I
came home,
yeah.
And then I just sucked down the rest of my bottle, and I'm still laying here in bed. So, thanks.
Would you like a little night train, sir?
Why not? What the hell?
We could drop some by for you, you know. Might be just to pick you up, that you need.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't drive. I'm going to ride my motorcycle on Sunday and try and kick over as many bicyclists as I can on the bridge.
All right, thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
That's Andy.
Andy!
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, more than half of the Americans say U.S. news organizations are politically biased, inaccurate, and don't care about the people.
Well, we certainly don't.
More than two-thirds of interstate users, internet users, felt that news organizations don't care about people they report on. 59% say their reporting is inaccurate. 64% say it's politically biased. And after taking all that in, more than half say organizations who do news are failing to stand up for America. Wouldn't that be biased?
I don't even know what that means.
Failing to stand up for America.
What? I don't even understand what that means. How are they defining that?
They're not.
Okay. Like the angry sort of flourish as you slam the paper down on the counter. And, you know, by the way, we should note that slamming a single piece of paper down on the counter like that doesn't necessarily have the sort of dramatic effect, aurally speaking, that one might hope for. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
All right. When I was in, I'll say, high school, we used to get Thunderbird.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to make this drink called the Chicken.
Hey, sir, are you listening to this?
You grab yourself a packet of Kool-Aid, you dump it in the Thunderbird, you shake it up, and bam, you got the chicken. Because the Thunderbird was so friggin' nasty, you had to put something in it.
What flavor Kool-Aid, sir?
Whatever you feel like. You know, if you want the
banana.
Blue Kool-Aid, it doesn't matter. I think we usually use blue raspberry.
Yeah.
But that's the chicken.
Yeah.
And so you need to get a 40, a 211 if you're going to really do this.
Yeah, or King Cobra.
Some Big Bear, some Schlitz malt liquor.
Would you finish the whole bottle of Thunderbird yourself, or would you be splitting that?
I think I got about halfway through one, and I was just like, give me the frickin' Coors Light. You guys are insane.
Yeah. Well, you don't have the intestinal fortitude of Sarah Dillon.
Well, back then I had a bong attached to my head most of the time. So.
You didn't have the energy to keep the bottle raised to your lips.
Yeah. It's like, you guys go
so
ahead
heavy.
Drink it, man. I'm just going to sit here and watch you guys get wasted.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Good day.
All right. Watching people get wasted. Speaking of that.
Scotty J. His jokes barely register as lame. Scotty J. buys his underwear used on eBay. Scotty J. likes the strippers upstairs at Dante's. Scotty J.
Hello, Scotty.
I love it up there at Dante's.
Really? Do you?
Only I can't find
the staircase.
I thought
you said there wasn't a strip club up there.
There isn't. That's the problem.
How are you feeling? You feeling good? Feeling good about life, things?
If I was to compare this to my normal drink, Johnny Walker Black, this would be equal to, like, 6 shots of that.
Really?
I think so.
Okay, excellent. All right, so wait, did you have listeners asking to come down and just drink with you?
Yes, they're on their way.
That's probably not a good idea. We should probably avoid that. So why don't we just... No.
Are you inviting random people? No, I'm looking at the screen.
That one's okay, right?
Come on.
He's bringing something special, by the way.
What is he bringing?
In a box.
Is it edible?
What's he bringing?
It's drinkable in a box. It's wine-ish.
It's drinkable in a box.
Okay, here's the thing.
Do you have to bring leftover wine?
No, let me just say this. Hold on. I'm going to say this right now. And look, I don't wish to sound like a jerk. I'm not saying this to be a dick. But, okay, so we'll make this exception for a short while.
Sounds
on
good.
The show.
Sounds good.
But we can't have a stampede of... So, other listeners, if you're coming down to drink with Scotty, turn around. Go away. I don't say that. Look, we love our audience.
Right.
But that's what we call an exponential escalation. And that's a bad idea.
So we can't allow one.
Yeah.
I agree.
Make an exception for this for a small period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But other listeners, that we're going to have to turn you away from the walls of Jericho are going to forbid your entrance. Scotty, you have your Thunderbird, your Night Train, your Mad Dog. What see you?
It's like every It's every 3 minutes. I mean, we need to give this some space.
How do you get drunk if you stop drinking?
Seriously, if you stop drinking,
how am I supposed to do the podcast?
If you stop drinking,
I'm like looking at it. And I'm like, oh, there's all these numbers in front of me. I got to stop here and start here, and I got to splice here.
If you stop drinking, it'll metabolize. No one wants that. What say ye? I can have the audience choose.
I think a little bit more of the orange Jubilee.
All right. Pleased to be spelling Jubilee.
J-U-B. Am I right so far?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I.
Mm-hmm.
Q.
L.
Five.
L.
Purple.
E-E. It's simple.
See, drinking makes you a better speller.
It does.
Let's see how you spell it through this one. Hold on.
All right, now that's a poor recording.
No. I'm not... That's a waste of good stuff.
That's a waste of this $1.99 wine.
Okay.
Right.
It does taste like Tang.
Would you like another Lunchable?
Yes.
Okay, you can have one after you finish that.
You're bribing him with Lunchables? This is the trashiest thing ever.
Yeah. It does look refreshing.
The thing about the MD with the orange... It goes down smooth. It doesn't make you hurl.
That is what a put that in the bottle. What a selling point.
You know what? If you were to burn a little bit of plastic, and if you've ever smelt burnt plastic, that's kind of how this tastes a little bit.
Wonderful.
I thought it was
refreshing.
It tastes like a burnt plastic orange
with the refreshing with the refreshing taste of singed formica. Okay, pleased to be finishing that. You can have a Lunchable. Excellent. Well done.
Scotty, that was impressive.
That is impressive. You're all man.
I just can't wait to try to piece together this podcast. Hour 4 is going to be mixed with hour 2 today.
That's okay. Here's some news with Tim Riley.
Oh. Three people are dead in an accident in a coal mine in Indiana. This is a brand new coal mine accident. The contractors, not the miners, who were replacing an air shaft at the face of the mine when the accident occurred. At this point, we have people trying to retrieve the bodies, and we know there was no explosion. The mine is located in northern Indiana, wherever that might be. So that's that. Some of the other things going on, there was a debate last night. Six candidates vying for the Democrat presidential nomination were in Los Angeles to participate in a forum on gay rights. Among the people getting in trouble, actually the only one...
Is this Bill Richardson?
Yeah, this is Bill Richardson.
This is fantastic. Roop is going to join us later to talk about this. Mm-hmm. I did not see most of this. It's on my TiVo, but I haven't watched it. I only saw a little bit on YouTube today. Apparently, now who all was there? It was Hillary, Barack, Bill Richardson, and John Edwards.
And then two other...
Kucinich.
And...
Who's the other guy?
Gravel.
The guy who's not going to win. From Alaska. Michael
he's interesting.
Gravel. Yeah, he's the one who wants to legalize pot.
Yeah.
He's
like a liberal baby boomer.
You know what he is? He reminds me a lot of that Ron Paul guy.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of like weird and crazy, and like you kind of wonder how he got elected, but he's kind of cool, sort of an iconoclast. I just know, the only thing I know about this is what I saw on YouTube today, and that Melissa Etheridge, I mean, this actually does sound like a bad skit, but Melissa Etheridge was the moderator.
No, she wasn't the moderator.
Wasn't she?
The guy whose wife.
I don't even know now.
No, I don't know. I had this written down somewhere, and I lost it.
All right. Well, somebody else was the moderator. Oh, it was Tucker Carlson's wife.
Tucker Carlson's wife.
Whatever her name might be. Tucker Carlson's
Mrs.
wife.
Mrs. Carlson.
And then Melissa Etheridge was just there. Was she just like a questioner? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So here we go.
Thank you.
She's going to ask a question.
Do you think homosexuality is a choice, or is it biological?
It's a choice. It's...
I don't know if you understand the question. Do you think...
Do you understand my tiny words?
A homosexual is born that way, or do you think that around seventh grade we go, oh, I want to be gay?
You know, I'm not a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
It's
hard to believe.
It's
the wheels, you know, just aren't turning.
I don't see this as
get no traction
of science or definition. I see gays and lesbians as people, as a matter of human decency. I see it as a matter of love and companionship and people loving each other. You know, I don't like to categorize people.
I don't like to answer questions, Melissa.
Definitions like that you know, perhaps are grounded in science or something else that I don't understand.
Well, it's hard when you are a citizen of a country that tells you that you are making a choice when you were born that way, and your creator made you that way, and there's a document that was written 200 years ago that says you are entitled to certain rights.
Bam.
That you are not given. How can there be anything other than absolute equal rights for homosexuals?
Well, that's always been my view, as I said.
I wanted to ask you...
Boy, what a tap dancer. Boy, and a bad one at that. Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, he must know... I mean, look, I think clearly the first answer he gave is his honest answer.
Yeah.
And then he realized immediately where he was, who he was talking to, that he's, you know, a Democrat. I mean, because he is a Democrat. Is he a Democrat?
Yeah, he's a Democrat. Yeah.
I mean, I just wanted to double check here. This isn't some weird...
No, he is a Democrat.
Ron Paul thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does know the forum that he's talking to. Mm-hmm. He does know the party. He does know to whom he's speaking. She says... And, I mean, what, you know, I guess if he honestly believes that, then whatever, but I guess he should at least stick to it. So she says it's a choice. He goes, yes. And then somewhere, maybe like an earpiece, his campaign manager must have been going, no, no, eject, abort, because she gives him, like, more rope. She throws him a rope, and then he just hangs himself with it by just sitting there and just digging himself into this morass of idiotic equivocation. And just looking like a tool. Yeah, that guy just flushed that whole audience away right there.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get
up. I mean,
back.
He was just so uncomfortable sitting in there, and he couldn't wait to get up and get out.
And normally it's, you know, look, I mean, let's be honest. Normally it's the other side of the aisle that's afraid of science. But then she goes, well, I don't like to deal with things that are rooted in some sort of science, Melissa. As though science is like this weird, distasteful fungus that he found on the back of his refrigerator somehow. Jesus. Well, kiss that goodbye, friend.
So, anyway, this didn't make the news, this clip, but actually, Hillary Clinton got a little tongue-lashing from Melissa Etheridge last night, too. Here's that part.
To be different than that, I know you're sitting here now, it's a year out. More than a year. A year from now, are we going to be left behind like we were before?
Well, you know, obviously, Melissa, I don't see it quite the way that you describe, but I respect your feeling about it. You know, from the moment that Bob Hattoy spoke at the Democratic Convention, through the appointments that were made, both to positions in cabinet agencies as well as in the White House, to the ongoing struggle against Gingrich and the Republican majority, I think that we certainly didn't get as much done as I would have liked, but I believe that there was a lot of honest effort going on.
I forgot what she's even answering.
Okay, let me go back to the very beginning here.
Senator, I have a personal issue here. I remember when your husband was elected president, I actually came out publicly during his inaugural week. It was a very hopeful time for the gay community. For the first time, we were being recognized as American citizens. It was wonderful. We were very, very hopeful. And in the years that followed, our hearts were broken. We were thrown under the bus. We were pushed aside. All those great promises that were made to us were broken. And I understand politics. I understand how hard things are to bring about change. But it is many years later now. And what are you going to do to be different than that? I know you're sitting here now. It's a year out.
That was the original question.
All right. Okay. And Hillary just sort of, I don't know, she just sort of flailed around a little bit there.
She looks terrific, though.
You nailed it, too, when you said that somebody went and looked in that room in advance, and they and she has an advanced team of clearly, I mean, and I'm not trying to be flip about this, all the candidates obviously do. People, they have somebody who looks at their hair, somebody does their makeup. I mean, the lesson of Nixon versus Kennedy.
Exactly.
And the lesson, the enduring lesson of that debate.
Richardson was Kennedy. Richardson was Nixon last night.
Just
it
sweating.
Was clear, yes.
Just a whole lot of,
His feet were like crossed out.
Was his body language implying uncomfortability?
Yes.
A whole lot of, I'd rather be anywhere but here. But somebody clearly went in there and they looked at the room and they looked at the color layout and the scheme and the way that, and they went into a wardrobe somewhere and they decided how to make Hillary Clinton look great. And I got to tell you, a couple years ago, I keep saying a couple years ago, but years ago when Bill Clinton was doing his State of the Union, there was this great shot of Hillary in that same color outfit. It was like a coral, like a pink kind of an outfit, and just looked stunning. And I know Hillary Clinton is not like a hot woman. I mean, I'm aware of that. She's not like a traditionally beautiful woman, but, you know, she can be, I hate to say this is the most backhanded compliment. She can be sort of a handsome-looking woman. I mean, she's not an ugly woman. I mean, no. She's not beautiful. She's not ugly. She's, you know, kind of a plain Jane, I would say. But you know what? She can be very well put together. She can, you know, that she comes up well. She cleans up well, as they say in Britain. So, anyway, somebody really obviously took care of that last night. And it's very telling that the Republicans don't even bother to show up to something like this.
No.
Because, that's...
The thing is, you know, they're busy spending their time. How are they going to dethrone Rudy Giuliani? And they're going to just self-destruct from within.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did you see? Man, you want to talk about a pecking party. And we'll get to Jim Roop here in just a moment on KCMD Portland. So not only are they all just going after Giuliani on the abortion thing and all that, now they're all starting to turn on Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
I saw a whole thing today in the New York Times about how they're just savaging Mitt Romney because apparently... He's one of those guys who only recently discovered that he was pro-life, and he discovered it around the same time that he decided to run for president.
And so it's a single issue with the Republicans this time. It's all about abortion. In the meantime, the Democrats have several, you know, talking points.
Which is just,
and they're not even talking about abortion.
And it's just ridiculous because, I mean, from a political point of view, because the Republicans really ought to be, I mean, again, politically speaking, the Republicans ought to be united on the war on terror, the Iraq war, Al-Qaeda, all that. I mean, they ought to be lining up on that issue, but, man, they are just...
It's all about abortion.
Seriously. And I'm not saying that Americans don't care about abortion. Clearly they do, but I'm saying Americans care about it to such an extent that nothing's ever going to change with it, not in the immediate future. Nothing's really going to happen with it. It's not, like, top of mind for anybody except those guys running for the GOP, and they are just pecking themselves into little pieces over that. So it is pretty fascinating to watch the GOP just completely destroy itself. I mean, it is fascinating. I am already looking forward to, like, 10 years from now when Jeff Greenfield has written a book about this election cycle and about how the Republicans are just setting themselves on fire with this. Fantastic. Good times.
So that's what happened last night.
Excellent. It's a good time to be an American, Tim Riley.
It is.
We'll have more from Tim Riley in just a moment. Let's welcome down to the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing fantastically. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you had to rank the following four wines, which would you say, to your experience anyway, which of these wines would you say is the most noxious?
And you're using wine loosely, too.
Sorry, wine-type product.
All right.
We have Night Train, Thunderbird, Mad Dog, and Boone's Farm. Are you familiar with?
I'm familiar.
Yeah. Well done. Which of these would you say is the most vile?
I'd say Night Train. Hmm. Maybe Thunderbird. Mad Dog and Boone's Farm is grape juice.
Boone's Farm actually has very little alcohol. The alcohol content is actually lower than that of most beers, depending on where you live.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryu Needy has more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mad Dog, I'm just not a fan. Night Train and Thunderbird, both, I think.
You're not a fan of Mad Dog the way you are of Night Train. It doesn't have the certain... It doesn't have the same cachet.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. All right, we're just...
I mean, might as well be drinking Mogan David.
No, we're the Portland City Fathers and the Vancouver City Fathers, actually, are trying to pass this ordinance to get rid of so-called fortified wines within certain areas of the city.
Why?
And because they got nothing better to do, and they don't want to bother to fix the street in front of my house or, you know, solve any other problems.
Yeah.
So we're just assessing the value of some of these wines from an aesthetic sense today.
Well, I would opt in all of those for a glass of Night Train.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's put that to the test, shall we? Hold on a second. Let me just.
You have some there?
Well, do we ever? Wait, why is this not playing? Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You might have to. You might have to. Do you have a Scotty sound over there, sir? Oh, there we go.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I'm a kissy on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
Welcome, Scotty J, our intrepid PA. Scotty J has been sampling a wide variety of fortified wines all day in the program.
Yeah, good.
So, just in the interest of journalistic integrity, you were saying you felt Night Train.
I felt Night Train.
Okay.
For me. It's a personal preference.
That's amazing, Jim, because I've had a couple of the Night Trains.
Oh, my God, he looks drunk.
Was it two or three of them?
You've had three of those.
Give a good... Rick, I don't feel like you're filling
and
that glass
enough. I washed it down with some MD2020 orange citrus flavored whatever. But yeah, I got to say so far Night Train isn't as bad. No, Rick, that's way too much. Okay, it's not going to happen.
Okay, yeah, you can totally finish that.
No, I totally can't because I'll be like talking to the wall. Hi, I'm Scotty J.
You want to talk about vanilla ice a little bit?
Excellent.
I feel your ice. You're so white.
What?
The wall paint, that is.
All right. Go ahead. And just...
I think you need to play the Night Train song for him, Rick, so you get inspired.
I need that.
Okay, Jim, you'll still be there. You're going to hear some music, so I apologize for this Guns N' Roses you're about to hear.
All right.
All right. We're just gonna... Scotty needs this to drink by, apparently. Hold on. Let me just... Okay, ready to finish that with the chorus?
No, Rick.
Oh,
you got to say no, Rick.
Don't want to hear the chorus? All right.
You can finish it, Scotty.
No.
Are you kidding me?
That's too bad.
I need to pace.
That's a shame.
You need to pee. What'd you say?
You need to what?
Pace. I need to pace myself.
He needs to pay himself.
And just finish that, and I'll put the Night Train away.
What you said earlier, I need to do that, too.
You finish that, I'll put the Night Train away. I'll put the Night Train away for the rest of the day.
We'll retire it.
We'll retire the Night Train if you finish that.
I actually
that.
Like the Night Train, though.
Well, then you got to finish that, then.
Okay, just finish it. You have, like, one
but
sip
I like
left.
I got the chorus.
The MD2020, I mean, it's no wonder they like it. It's, like, tangy.
Well, you know what? You finish that, you know,
like
Mad Dog.
I feel like
I got
I'm in space when I drink
I got the chorus right here. Ready?
give me some chorus.
Okay, hold on. Okay, hold on. Go! Come on, Scotty.
Yuck.
Where are you, Scotty?
Ready to crash and burn.
I'm on the Night Train. I can never get enough. Give me an ow. Excellent. Fantastic. All right.
Bye now.
What do you want when you come back?
Shoot the tangy.
I kind of like the tang.
You want some Mad Dog?
He wants
the tang. I'd like to go to outer space a little bit later.
Excellent. Thank you, Scotty.
Oh, my God. He's starting to slur.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing okay, man. Not as good as Scotty J's. He's going to feel terrible around 10 o'clock.
We just
decided to get him drunk today for no particular reason.
You are really mixing him you're really mixing the alcohol for him.
We should mix some of them. Thunderbird and Mad Dog together. I wonder what that would taste like.
Tell him it's Madderbird.
It is.
Thunder Dog.
Thunder Mad.
Thunder Dog.
Thunder Dog. That is genius. Thunder Dog. Excellent. All right. I don't even remember what I was going to ask, but did you go to this forum last night?
I watched it.
And
I think it's the first time I ever watched that damn channel.
We were just talking about how Hillary Clinton, she must have an advanced team that goes and just lays out all of the aesthetics of that. Because, I mean, look, you got to say it. She looked great last night. She looked comfortable. She was dressed to match the set. I mean.
She was the only woman there.
Man, I got to tell you, I'm telling you, I'm not going to talk to the general election yet, but in terms of the Democratic primary, she is going to get that Democratic nomination in a walk. There is no one else even close. I'm telling you right now. She has just got... Tim was talking about that today. We were watching these clips, and it's like the other candidates are sort of there, but they just don't have any presence. Whatever anybody thinks about her, she has just got a real... She's got a real, you know, presence on the screen.
Yeah.
You know what? Even for people who dislike her, maybe even especially for people who dislike her, you cannot ignore her.
She answered the same-sex marriage question right, too. You know, when they asked her about that, she said, well, I prefer to think of it as being very positive about civil unions. You know, she didn't want to get into why she didn't want gay marriage. She said, I'd rather think this positively about civil unions. I thought that was a very...
And she didn't do that ridiculous John Edward answer where he's like, well, I'm opposed to it, but my wife and daughter love it. You know, which is such a weaselly maneuver. And I think I speak the truth when I say that, you know, Hillary Clinton has behind her, and it is a testament to her political savvy and her husband's political savvy, frankly, that you don't see it or notice it or think about it, but that... that she has probably the most finely tuned, well-oiled political machine of the 20th century behind her right now.
Yeah, you're right. You're probably right.
Just all the people who loved her husband, all the people who hate George Bush, all of that. And again, just whatever your political perspective, the amount of people who loved her husband and the amount of people who dislike the current president together, there is so much power behind her that you don't even, you just see the tip of that political iceberg. I mean, I think she will have to be caught on camera shooting kittens in the head or something to not get that nomination. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So...
Well, we'll see. Well, I mean, when is it? Next August, I think.
Honestly, unless Jesus literally appears on a cloud somewhere and speaks to all of us and orders us, you know, not to vote for her, I mean, it's going to be hard for her not to get the nomination. Like that. There's the sound of the CNN editorial voice. Well,
I don't know.
Who can say?
It's gonna be tough all the way down. There just is no real strong. Well, you're right. She is the strongest candidate they have.
And it's just not that she's so strong. It's that, you know, Obama
else is a weak.
You know, yeah. Obama is probably the next, you know, the next big contender for her, and even he doesn't feel like he has a lot of weight to him. You know, so. All right.
He doesn't have it. You're right. He has no real deep bench whatsoever. Nobody knows who this guy is.
Yeah.
And his wife said something kind of stupid the other night. I think she was in Vegas, and she was talking about, because it's hard to read Obama.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard to read Obama because he doesn't know which way to go on several issues because he's not sure who's going to like what.
Right. I think he has a lot of surface right now.
Yeah. And she said it's hard to read him because he is who he is.
Yeah.
He's real. A person who's real, you can read very easily, you know?
No, it's so true.
That was a stupid thing she said, so I hope he slaps her.
Did you see that thing that John Edwards' wife said, though? She said, well, the big problem John has is I can't make him black or a woman.
I didn't see that.
That's exactly what you want to say in front of a microphone. Well done. All right, big plans for the weekend, Jim?
No. Although I might go and get some Night Train now.
I'm telling you, Thunderdog.
Thunderdog.
That is a fantastic idea. Excellent.
Don't let him know you're doing it, though.
Oh, no. Well, that ship may have sailed, but he'll probably forget it by the time he walks down the hallway to here. We haven't even opened the Jägermeister yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
You should have given him that first.
It's what we know. That's going to back clean up. All right. Enjoy your weekend, my friend.
And it's going to clean him out.
Yeah, too. Exactly. Yeah. It's going to be. We'll get your recording of anything especially hilarious that happens.
Oh, please do.
All right. Enjoy your weekend, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right. There goes CNN radio correspondent James Roop. Fantastic. All right. It's a great time to be alive. It really is. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick.
Hey.
It's Randy in Minnesota.
What's up, sir?
Oh, well, you know, I have a question about the podcast.
Yes.
Which I love and adore the podcast. I know that there are certain things you have to excise, remove from the podcast for legal purposes.
Well, you know, we take out the spots and and a lot of that stuff, yeah.
Okay. See, I know, you know, but we're missing those viable libraries.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one of those things that we take out and we put them in. It's just the show content, not the commercials, so.
Oh, it hurts, man, because, you know, I remember the greatest live read ever.
I have no.
Two words, Rick, marijuana sauce.
We should probably stop now because I don't even remember what we're talking about, but thank you. Let's move on.
Oh, that was mean.
No, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, I don't even know where that was going.
I don't either.
I don't know where it's going, so no offense. We're just going to move on because God only knows who that was in reference to or what sponsor. So we should just we should bring the curtain on that down now. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's see. We got more from Tim Riley at the bottom of the hour. We got the top five coming up. Aaron Geek in the City. Duran is going to be here. Let's see. Dennis Pittenberg is going to join us in a while. Was there something else we had to get done? It seems like there was something else. I got a whole bunch of this stuff to read right here. So we got that as well. Okay. Well, yeah. Then, no. So before we do anything else, let's just hold on. Before we that's me. Now I feel like I'm drunk.
Scotty J. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolia.
How are you doing, Scott?
He's mouthing no as he's looking in.
How are you, sir?
Doing great.
Just trying to get a feel for where you are today.
We need to pace.
No. I'm just getting a feel for where you are.
Scotty, we only have an hour and a half left.
Seriously,
of the show.
You're going to be done. So,
within 15 minutes, I could be blotto. That's, you know, we need to pace it so I can talk and respond about how
fine.
I feel about the taste of
you
this.
You sound completely normal.
You sound completely fine.
Quality wine.
You don't sound slurring at all.
Let me take a look at what's been drank, if that's the proper way to say it, out of the nitrate bottle. See, what are we looking at now?
It's not that much.
Half a bottle been drank so
not
far?
Not much.
Half a bottle been drank. Rick, please be making him a thunder dog.
Tanya, if you're out there, we want to have you as a special guest on our show. So anyways.
Tanya, who's Tanya?
Harding.
Why did you think about that just now?
Because you might want to take a ride on the night train with me. I don't know.
What is the night train code for something?
No. It isn't.
It's not. The night train is, so when you say Tanya might want to take a ride on the night train, you're not referring to, something.
No.
You sure?
Woo. No. Now, check it out.
Scotty, can I make you a thunder dog?
Check it out. He thinks of this. He goes, I love that stuff.
Yes.
And that's kind of funny. That
it
he
is.
He's got a song about it.
Scotty, if I make you a thunder dog, will you drink it?
Just small
thunder dog. It sounds,
I bet it's good.
Well, you should just do like a little one just because I want to know, because Roop suggested. I just want to know what it tastes
like.
It
sounds putrescent.
Well, let's take some calls while she does that. Putrescent is actually a word, I think. Putrescent, maybe. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, man, what's happening?
What are you doing?
Hey, I'm just driving down to Eugene for the Reggae Fest, and I thought I'd call in and let you know that the marijuana sauce reference was from a live read Tim did for the Pirates Tavern.
Oh, I guess that doesn't matter at this point. So, excellent.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Funny as hell. All right, bye-bye.
Bye now. I didn't mean to be rude to Randy earlier, but...
Randy?
That is funny. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I don't know if you heard, but or if you watched the AFL-CIO debate with all the Democrats, but Obama he had to do some 30-second response, and he got this giant cheer, and then Hillary did some little response of her own that was kind of mimicking him, but she just said it really, I don't know, mean. I don't know.
Well, she you can tell that Hillary. Go ahead.
She got booed.
What?
She got booed.
Because here's the thing. Is that people say that television can fool you or that the camera can fool you. I think that's wrong. I don't think you can fool the camera. And that's why when we all looked at Bill Clinton, we all went, well, he's a weasel. When you looked at Nixon, you knew he looked like a crook. And when you look at Hillary, I mean, you can tell that Hillary doesn't, you can tell that she's a mean, she's a terrible Cruella de Vil person. You know what I mean?
Well, she just seems like that. She was that vice that you had to go see when you got in trouble in, like, elementary school.
And she
beat
you with the Board of Education?
Yeah. She just seems really, you know, Mr. Emerson, we're really concerned, and they're not going to accept this. I don't know.
No, totally. I'm with you. All right, thank you, sir.
See ya.
All right, thank you, my friend. All right, there you go. Hey, Scott, how's that hors d'oeuvre treating you over there, the Lunchable?
I made him an hors d'oeuvre.
The Lunchable good?
I mean, you know what?
No. Careful.
Don't spill your thunder dog.
I'm not going to do that.
There's a little bit of that, just because Roop wanted that.
I understand.
Yeah.
But a couple Lunchables.
It's mostly Mad Dog.
I mean, if you put these Lunchables out in a fancy, you know, $1 million, you know, like a Stars party.
Yes.
You can't tell that they're Lunchables out of a plastic pouch, okay? They actually, when you actually serve them to me, they look great.
No, they are great. Who doesn't? Sarah, you love Lunchables.
I love Lunchables.
I've seen Sarah many times have those actually for lunch. They are, in fact, Lunchables.
That's true.
All right. No, that is the way to describe them.
So there's no shame in Lunchables.
No, not at all. All right.
Now what do you call this drink?
It's a Thunder Dog.
It's a Thunder Dog.
It's a Thunder Dog. It's a Roop drink.
It smells really good.
Roop was talking about it.
It smells good.
Roop,
okay.
Roop specifically requested... God is my witness that you try the Thunder Dog.
Okay.
That was a request from Jim Roop. Oh, wait, hold on. No, let me just, I want you to, you know, feel good about it.
No, wait, I have something better. Beyond that,
yeah.
Go into the RES.
Okay.
There's something there. That
I'll find. Is it Thunderbird by the Beach Boys?
Yes.
Yeah, the T-Bird song. I'll find that as soon as we do this, because I got the Guns N' Roses already queued up. Are you ready? All right. Who's ready to rock? Okay, here, big chorus.
I'm on the night train.
Good Lord. That is a good drink.
Is it really the Thunderdog?
Hell yes.
Let's try a little.
I'm a good mixologist.
One more pass through the chorus.
Bottoms up, Scotty.
Fill your cup. Bottoms up, Scotty.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, stop.
Yes.
It has a little bit of that plastic taste in it, still.
Just a little bit. Well, it is in a plastic cup. It might be eating away at the cup by this point.
You know what, Rick? I think you're right, finally, for once.
Yes, no, it's
true.
You
want to get out of a coffee mug instead?
Yeah, I mean, I can get a shot glass.
Or a big gulp.
No.
All right. You've got like half an inch left there.
I'm kind of partial to these yellow cups you're giving me now. How many have I gone through so far?
Two or three, yeah. All right, wait, hold on, just finish that, and we'll go ahead. Go.
It's kind of disgusting in a good way.
That really is this whole show, you know what I mean? You summed it up, Scotty. All right, and finish. Go.
All right, I must get back to my duties. But you do need to play that song because I thought it would be appropriate today.
The Beach Boys song?
Yeah, Daddy took my T-Bird away. It's like he's taking my bottle away, right? It's funny.
It's interesting. Next time you come back in, well, we use Guns N' Roses this time. Next time you come back in, we'll use the Beach Boys. I love that song, too. It's a great song. Fun.
All right, great, Rick.
Excellent. Thank you, Scotty. God bless you, Scotty J. Thank you.
Okay.
Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. It's 503-733-2970. Tim, are you preparing more news for us?
Oh, yes. I've been busy.
Okay.
It certainly is the atmosphere for news gathering.
Murrow would be proud.
He would be.
Fantastic. Oh, he was half in the bag, probably, anyway. All right. We come back. We'll get these calls. We have more from Tim Riley, the top five coming up. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. And so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up here in just a few, we'll talk to Dennis Pitzenbarger. Aaron Geek in the City Duran joining us in a while. Special guest as well. More of Scotty J in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen of the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A small ramshackle bridge in North Portland is even in worse shape than the one that collapsed in Minnesota. This is the century-old Willamette Boulevard Bridge that passes over the Burlington Northern Railroad tracks some 80 feet below. A recent inspection of that bridge revealed parts of its understructure are weak enough to fall. State inspectors also faulted the bridge's outdated guardrail, which is dotted with holes patched by wooden planks.
Have a happy weekend.
The bridge is a steel truss design, similar to the ill-fated I-35W span in Minneapolis. About 10,000 vehicles pass across that bridge every day. Merv Griffin is in grave condition. He looks terrible. He is a talk show host and a horseman. For the last 20 years, he has lived in La Quinta, California. Apparently, he has cancer.
Oh.
He's 82.
Cancer.
Mm-hmm. So he is the creator of Jeopardy, The Wheel of Fortune, the host of the Merv Griffin Show, and he has a big ranch. And he used to have a late-night talk show on CBS.
Also, he killed several people by injecting them with window cleaner. The best part about that story...
Is that true?
No. It's from The Man with Two Brains. The best part about that story is eventually, when he does kick it, and don't get me wrong, I love Merv Griffin. I respect him deeply.
Yes.
They can just shorten that headline. It could just be Merv Griffin in grave.
Oh, that's true.
That's funny.
That is.
Excellent. Okay.
A woman killed a raccoon with her bare hands. This after the animal attacked her little boy. Officials with Cheshire, Connecticut Animal Control say the woman was walking in the woods around 11 a.m. with a group of children when the annual animal bit her 5-year-old son and a friend. Well, she pulled the raccoon out the shell and told the children to run home and strangle the animal to death.
Damn.
A crocodile survived a fall from the 12th floor of an apartment building in Russia.
Only in Russia. Only in Russia would that story ever happen. That's wonderful.
Diving out the window had become a habit for the crocodile. Concerned neighbors said it was the third time the animal had used that method to get away.
What were they keeping it for?
It lost a tooth in its latest fall, but otherwise it was unscathed.
That's like that scene in The Commitments where Jimmy Rabbit sees the kid taking the horse into the elevator. And he's like, hey, you can't take that horse in the elevator. And the kid says, ah, the stairs would kill him.
Jesus. So the croc was put in a local aquarium to recover. Within hours, its concerned owner came to pick it up, and the reptile was last seen being driven away, lying in the back seat of the owner's car. Oh, this is unfortunate. A doctor at the Legacy Clinic Mount Hood recently discovered, how recently we don't know, the theft of $13,000 in addition to missing patient receipts, credit card transaction slips, and checks. This includes the information on 747 of you who received care at the clinic between January 2006 and February 2007. We are truly sorry for the situation and recognize the concern and inconvenience this may cause.
I'm sure that the information will not be misused in any way.
No.
By the way, while we're reading more
is
news...
Is that noise out there, Scotty?
Let's...
Where's assless chaps and dances in the rain? Scotty J likes to drink his juice with Tanqueray. Scotty J, I'm not sure what goes on inside his brain, Scotty J. No matter what goes wrong, it's him we blame, Scotty J.
Hello, Scotty J.
No matter what goes wrong, it's him we blame?
I didn't write
it. I don't get it.
No, me either. How
it's
are you doing?
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
Doing great, Rick.
Really, is it?
No.
Which of these drinks do you like the best of ours? Is it the Thunder Dog? Is that the one that
you like the Thunder Dog?
Enjoyed the most?
It was okay. I like Thunderbird, and I like the MD 2020 because it's kind of got an orangish tang.
But you didn't like the, but the Thunderdog is consists of both.
Thunderdog is.
You like the Thunderdog though. Of all the glasses you have had, that's the one you enjoy the most.
Or did you just like the plain Mad Dog?
I don't know. I mean, I think Sarah would have to try it one more time, and I'll try it one more time myself.
Each of those one more time.
Yeah, seriously. Which song do you want to accompany that? Sarah, do you want to come pour something?
Yes.
Tim can do a story while you're pouring, and then we'll roll that. We'll do it too. We'll do two. One with Guns N' Roses, one with Beach Boys, and then you can rate the music accompaniment as well.
What's the Beach Boys song, Rick?
We'll find out, won't we, Scotty? Let's do one more with Tim Riley.
I guess that's a tease.
Here's Tim Riley.
Ricky Martin wants children, perhaps adopting one from every continent if possible.
From every continent.
It's something,
from Iceland.
It's something we want to begin to create this year. A family of many colors, says the 35-year-old pop star. Martin, who isn't married, said he doesn't expect special treatment in the adoption process. I want to do it right. I don't want any problems or misunderstandings. Some think celebrities can manipulate the system and get a quicker adoption. Martin's hits include She Bangs, Shake Your Bon Bon, and Livin' La Vida the Loca.
Fantastic.
If that's not hilarious, I don't know what is.
I don't know either, Scotty.
That's the funniest thing I've read today, Scotty.
Tim Riley reading Ricky Martin songs on the air.
Yeah,
that's great.
It is. All right, Scotty. Now,
that doesn't even look like the last one you.
No, it is. It's the same thing.
It's
now,
the same thing, Scotty.
Now, Scotty,
it's like here. It's 3/4 full instead of half full, and it's like
it all depends on your perspective.
All right.
Really deep orange color instead of like light orange color. Something's wrong.
I watched your port. It's more.
There's
or less
nothing
the same.
Wrong, Scotty. No. Nothing wrong at all.
It's fine.
There's something wrong about this whole bit.
No. Everything's right with this bit,
Scotty. I
think
you guys are trying to get me drunk.
No.
All right. Ridiculous.
We want you to enjoy yourself.
All right, Scotty. We'll roll a little Guns N' Roses for this one. We'll roll a little mystery song for the next one. Hold on a second. Let me get the chorus here. Hold on. Let me just... Ready?
I got to tell you, these guys aren't all that.
Look, guys.
Wait, hold on. You ready? Here comes the big chorus, Scotty. On the night train, Scotty.
Woo, I'm on the night train.
All right, let's go. Night
You know what? Not bad, sir.
Yeah?
Right. Not bad. I mean, the color of this drink looks pertruse and gross.
I think pertruse is that general in Iraq. Oh, wait, let me back it up here. Hold on.
I like the fact that he says, I'm on the night train never to return. That's not me.
No, I'll you return.
I'll return.
All right, here we go.
Woo!
Finish this and then we'll...
The night train!
Finish that and then we'll roll it with the other song.
Woo!
I'm on the night train!
Go,
I
go,
never
go,
learned.
Go,
I like that.
Go, 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 go.
You know what, sir? I mean, you mixed a whole bunch of crap together. It's great.
Got to drink that crap.
And it's less filling.
Excellent.
Woo! Gone
wonderful.
And done.
Excellent.
Now,
right.
If I had to report on that taste, I don't think the average bar guy pulling up to the bar would say, oh, give me this taste, because it was, like, rank. However, when it's the only thing you have, like a mice, you know,
mice?
Pecking, like a mouse pecking at a little bottle, you know?
A mouse pecking at a ball.
It tastes great.
As we've often seen.
It's less filling. So there you go.
Why is the mouse pecking?
Because he's addicted. He's addicted to whatever's coming out of that little bottle.
Balls.
The mouse loves balls.
Are you the mouse in this story? I'm
just
so
surprised.
Know. Are you the balls?
You know what? I am thankful today. I did not hear crickets. So thank you.
No. You're very music. All right. So I'll get the other song queued up. Tim, do you want to do another story? Sarah, you take care of Scotty. I'll get the other song ready here.
Okay.
This is Tim Riley.
We have a whole bunch of guest lines up,
yes,
too.
We do. We have guests waiting for us on the hallway.
Crack open the booth.
Okay. Well, you know, keep that very... That's only like 4. That's like 4%. Scotty. No.
I hope he doesn't start running upstairs.
No. We got to finish this, and then we'll do the guests.
Sit down, Scotty, on your bench.
Tim, please read me a news story because I can totally retain it.
All right, Scotty, let's see how much of this you can retain. Experts say the collapse of the Iraqi government is imminent. While the Bush administration continues to bolster its support for the prime minister, several of Maliki's cabinet members have resigned and are boycotting meetings. Many are on vacation. The unrest in the cabinet has caused several U.S. officials and diplomats to question the fate of Maliki's government. One Arab diplomat says it appears that the wheels are coming off the cart. Former CIA analyst Bruce Rydell said the fall of Maliki's government could prove disastrous for the Bush administration, as Congress is expecting a full report on the progress of Iraq. It's supposed to be on his desk next month. Scotty.
Interesting. All right. Scotty, what do you think about that story?
Okay. Tim?
Usually you take your current events seriously.
No, I do. And you know what? F them.
Okay. I don't even know what we're talking about.
I don't either, but I can't. All I can say is this drink that you've currently pushed in front of me.
Yes.
Looks beyond worse than taking peas. All right.
From a pod.
Yes, from a pod. And just
giving them to the monkey.
Being.
And.
Okay. Taking the peas from the pot and, like, twisting them and squirting the juice out and calling it a drink. And
that would be pea soup, wouldn't it, Scotty?
That's what this drink... Tim, tell me this drink doesn't look like that.
You're right. Well, pea soup is good for you, Scotty. Why don't you down
that? Drink all your pea soup, Scotty.
He is a newsman, Scotty.
This is disgusting.
It smells really good.
Stop. What is this drink?
That's the Boone's, and then what else?
It's Fountain of Youth juice.
Okay, so a blue bottle.
Yes.
And something else, and why is it green right now?
So it must be something blue and yellow.
Okay, Boone's.
It's the Tropical Thunder Dog.
Yes, it's a Tropical Thunder Dog. All right, now do you want this other song for that, or do you want Night Train again?
It's the Underdog.
Do you want the Underdog? Good one.
Yeah.
Do you want the other one, Scotty?
Yes.
All right. Excellent. T-Bird, well done.
I can't believe my daddy took my T-Bird bottle away.
Yeah. All right. Go, 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 go.
Woo!
Well, she got her daddy's car.
Ooh,
best drink ever.
Is it good?
I'm not kidding you. It looks like the grossest drink ever.
Yeah.
Best tasting drink today.
All right.
It's smooth.
So, there you go,
wait,
folks.
Hold on. Here we go on the chorus. You ready? Here comes
I'm
the
ready.
Chorus. Go.
Let's all sing.
Glass in hand. Don't spit up on yourself, please.
Or me. I'm sitting right next to him.
When they said the word T-Bird, I had a little spray on my face.
All right, here we go. Let's go.
Actually, this is the best drink of the day, Rick. I love you, man.
How are you feeling about that drink?
This drink is the best drink of the day.
All right.
Believe it or not. I mean, it is the most disgusting-looking drink. It looks like you took a pea pod and, like, squirted the juice out of it, and it just looks like a Ralph. And for all of you who don't know what Ralph is...
That Ralph Crampton?
Ralph, yes. Mouth?
From Happy Days.
No. All right, now let's finish this, and then we'll bring in a guest. Ready?
Yes.
Go.
This is a good drink.
Yeah.
Sir, before you do that,
yeah.
Sir, what is this drink called?
That's the Tropical Thunder Dog.
Love it.
All right. Excellent. Who should we bring in now? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Aaron.
All right. Let's have everybody kind of... all right.
Fill into my recycling box.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Scotty J.
Bye, Scotty.
Bye, Scotty. All right.
Come, me, Oma.
The best thing is the voice of Tim as the sort of solemn encouragement. No, it's good for you, Scotty. It's fortified. Have some now. You know what Tim is today? Tim is the doctor recommending the cigarette. Tim is the doctor in the white lab coat going, no. Menthol smoke clears the sinuses, Judy. All right, fantastic. Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, Dennis Pitzenbarger. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Terrible.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just holding on to the night train.
Yeah, you... You have to fight hard to get that away from Scotty today.
Citrus wine with natural flavors.
Uh-huh.
Vented and bottled by Night Train Limited.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I have not yet. I've had the Mad Dog 2020 before. I've drank that. The Boone's, well, come on. Who didn't drink that in the 80s when they were...
It's got very little alcohol. Boone's was like 4.5, 4.3,
yeah, do you
like
remember
that?
The California coolers that came in the 2 liters?
Yep.
We used to drink those and, I mean, like, chug the entire 2 liter... And then just sit there and wait for the fun times to arrive.
Yes.
There's
quite a powwow going on out in the hallway.
It's a kind of a geek powwow.
Hold on, do me a favor. Aaron, hey, can we get Aaron to come in the studio? Aaron?
Do me a favor, Aaron.
Aaron.
Here you go.
All right, Aaron, how you doing? All right. Will you do me a favor while you're out there? Will you make sure that Scotty is in his room? Not speaking to other CBS employees.
I think it's a little bit late for that, unfortunately.
You, really?
Yeah.
All right.
What is he saying?
Well, I don't know. All I know is that he's giving people... he's hugging people now.
Okay, please, have him not do that. Would you try to make sure that he doesn't do that, please?
And who's the woman that would have gone into the production room wishing she was alone?
Yeah, that'd be Lisa.
Well, Scotty J. Fowler.
Would you please go make sure he unfollows her?
I'll be right back.
Thank you. Thanks so
following
much.
Following random CBS employees.
Please don't do that.
I love you.
Great. That's wonderful. All right.
You got to admit that, you know, alcohol does, in some instances, bring out the worst traits in people.
No,
but to a certain degree, it does make people a little happier.
No, it's... Scotty is very happy. I will give you that. All right. Hey, so what's up with you?
You know, just getting ready for tomorrow's show. Actually, we're going to talk about a funny experience I had last weekend where I got to go out to PIR, the racetrack here in Portland, and drive these little go-karts, little shifter carts. And it was funny because one of the kids, he's like 15 years old, right? This guy's like this, you know, this, what do you call it? Not a protege, but a prodigy of, you know, go-kart racing, going to go, you know, open-wheel racing. Well, the kid looks at me and goes, now, I'll try not to pass you more than twice. And I'm just sitting there thinking, now, wait a minute, you're 15. I mean, you don't even have a driver's license. So, of course, the first lap of the race, we get out there. There's like 24 of us. The first lap of the race, I go ahead and loop it into the grass, skid out into the middle of the track as everybody goes by in a big group. Here I come singly by as everybody rants and raves and has a good time laughing at my inability to drive this. Oh, so anyway, the idea is this 15-year-old kid then comes up behind me in the middle of the track and decides to, I don't know if you call it NASCAR, you call it bumping.
Right.
Or as the story goes, rubbing is racing.
Yes.
So this 15-year-old kid decides to come up and basically ram into the back of me with his go-kart and then laugh and wave as he basically shames my driving ability as he goes by and proceeds to lap me two more times. So
excellent.
It was a fun time, but, you know, I tell you what, for people that are into motorsports and only got, say, $3,000 or $4,000 that they could spend, to go racing, I mean, do you have, Rick Emerson, if I asked you how expensive it is to go racing, would you have any idea?
Dennis, I wouldn't know how to answer that question.
Well, then I guess I would have to answer it for you, but racing can be thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars if you really want to go crazy. You could go out and race for like $2,000 or $3,000 and have a good time.
Speaking of that, let's, going crazy.
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please,
you
let me.
Here, Scotty.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our PA, Scotty J. Hi, Scotty. How are you today?
Doing great, Rick. I love you.
Do you want another Tropical Thunderdog, Scotty?
Excellent.
Did you call me?
No, yes. Yes, I did just now.
I thought you came over when you were talking. You came over.
Stop.
No, you leaned your
Everybody
head
stop.
In.
Everybody stop. These are great headphones. I have the cheapest headphones in the world.
Yes.
And these are awesome. It's like I hear myself in the third dimension.
Sounds great. Okay. What does that mean?
It means I like myself.
Okay. Well, that's good. So you like yourself when you're wearing those headphones?
Yes.
All right, then. How would you rank the drinks that you've been having so far? Where did you like that last, the Tropical Thunderdog?
I got to tell you, you know what? It looked the most putrid of all. It looked the most disgusting. It was the most Frankenstein, ugly-looking drink I've ever seen in my life. And it was the best one. Sarah, what was it called again?
The Tropical Thunderdog.
Oh, it was Tropical Thunderdog. That one has some taste.
Excellent. All right.
And vividity.
Please to spell vividity.
And then define it.
Yes, seriously. Please to be spelling that.
V-I. V-I.
Here's a pen, Scotty.
V.
Vividity.
I-D.
Uh-huh.
I-T-Y. B-E-S-T-T-A-S-T-E.
Excellent. Thank you. All right.
Am I right?
No, you really are. No, it's fantastic. All right. Hey, so while I got you here, and Dennis, we're running real behind, but while I got you here, I wanted to go over this with you guys. This is, in fact, Sarah, if you want to, do we want to get another, do you like the tropical thing, Scotty?
I'll make you another Tropical Thunderdog.
Scotty, I want you should stick around for this conversation.
That's probably the best drink I've ever had.
You know,
I'm not kidding you.
I wanted to go over this
funny
with you guys while Sarah's creating this, and then we'll talk to Dennis about what's coming up on the show this weekend. We'll talk to Aaron and so forth. Did you guys see this thing in the A&E about the 20 greatest movie car chases of all time?
No, I did not, but I'm very interested to see. I have a very distinct opinion about what is the best car chase of all time, so it'd be interesting to see what is on that
list. I just wanted to run down this list because you guys are the first ones I thought of, you especially, Dennis. I don't know if you guys are going to touch on this tomorrow. This is from today's A&E. This is front of the Oregonian. 20 greatest car chases of all time. Number one, you know, without even looking, you should know.
Well, it's either going to be Ronin, Bullet, or... Possibly Death Race 2000.
Bullet. Totally Bullet. Yeah. The Steve McQueen classic.
But the thing about Bullet is I've seen that movie so many times, and it is a great chase scene. It's between a Dodge Charger and a Ford Mustang.
Yes.
But there's two things you got to know about. There's backstory behind that. One is the Charger loses approximately 12 to 14 hubcaps, which I think is kind of interesting.
Uh-huh.
And also the Ford Mustang... Ford, or the movie set, went to Ford and said, listen, we want to put a Mustang in this movie, yada, yada.
Uh-huh.
They actually made Steve McQueen take all the emblems off the car because they didn't want to associate the Ford Mustang...
With recklessness.
With reckless, you know, Steve McQueen is a god among man's uh-huh. man, whatever. And then, of course, later in, like, 2004, they go ahead and come out with the Bullet Mustang, which
totally.
I think is really against
the
all-brain.
Oh, wait, Scotty's having another hors d'oeuvre here.
You know, those are pretty good, aren't they, Scotty?
With Lunchables?
Beyond great.
Really? Yeah, that's a turkey Lunchable, I believe.
You know the best part is that if you ever...
Where would you rate the Lunchable on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, a 10.
Really? What song do you wish to have for your next Tropical Thunder? A Beach Boys or the Night Train?
Or I have YouTube open. We can listen to any song you want.
We can listen to a little I Get Knocked Down, But I Get Up Again.
Oh,
can you find
a little Chumbawamba? Careful, you don't watch your hand there. Make sure you don't, please. Yeah, just there you go.
You know, the best part of this is the fact that these Lunchables are just making you a little more thirsty because there is about 2,000 milligrams of sodium in each one.
Rick, you're a mind reader.
No.
That
what?
I Get Knocked Down song.
Yeah.
Boom.
Chumbawamba.
I mean, that totally was thinking
of my
mind. I
love Chumbawamba.
But I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want it to seem like I was like on some kind of connection with you.
No, it's true. All right, so Sarah will be queuing that up for you. So anyway, so yeah, I wanted to mention this. Bullet number one, French Connection. I'll just do the top five.
French Connection
number two,
is great.
Born Identity number three, which I haven't seen, like the last guy in the world now hasn't seen it. Seven Ups and is number four. And then number five, The Terminator 2, Judgment Day, which is great because it's not CGI. It's all real. Like when that truck smashes through that overpass into the drainage ditch in Los Angeles.
Except for the part where he jumps the fat boy Harley Davidson off the 25. That's a slight
I think
bit
it's
of...
CGI in the sense that they did it with cables and they CGI'd the cables away.
Yeah, because that's
But it's not like that Matrix 2 thing where it's all completely
CGI. Oh, no.
CGI.
Where he's on, where she, what's her name? Trinity's on the Ducati.
Yeah, that's not impressive to me because it's all CGI. So I don't know if you guys are going to be talking about this. What's coming up on the show tomorrow?
Well, actually, we're going to talk about my experience with the go-karts. We're going to talk about the 2008 Hybrid Escape and the 2007 and Mitsu Outlander, but also I got a really cool story about, you know who Carol Shelby is?
Yeah.
Okay, Carol Shelby has this heart foundation. The news is breaking that Carol Shelby, even though he's got millions and millions of dollars, there's a story breaking that he's only given away like 1% of that money. So it's kind of interesting to see, you know, what do you call that? Not a plagiarist, what do you call it? Philanthropist? I can't say that
okay,
word.
Okay, Scotty.
Sorry. Scotty, how do you say that?
Philanthropist.
Schooled, owned.
Schooled
by you have just been
Scotty
owned.
Sounds so zen.
Scotty just correctly pronounced a word that you could not in his state. You have been owned.
Dude, I'm a car guy. I can't. I can't spell average words, let alone some of the words that Scotty says.
Are you talking about that tomorrow?
I will be talking about that tomorrow.
Miles around 9 to 11. All right, Scotty, are we ready with the song?
Sure.
Do you want to play us in the break? Scotty, are you ready?
Beyond.
All right, drink in hand, Scotty.
I will drink to this.
Yes, you will.
I get no doubt.
All right. And for the win, go. Excellent. Well done.
Sure, nice drink.
Thank you. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Aaron Geek of the City Duran next.
Okay.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. I apologize. I got all these calls. I haven't gotten to them. All this stuff, all of these things. 503-733-2970. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Let me now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
Hold me like you did by the way.
Let's get her, Scotty. What? Aaron
no,
Geek in the
no,
City, Duran.
No.
Hi. Hi, Aaron. How's it going?
Hi, Aaron. Is he wearing his headphones on his ears? They're like
he's
on the sides
the
of his head.
Scotty, those earphones have to be over your ears to work.
No, because it's too loud. Too loud, man.
You've got a volume.
Too loud.
You've got to twist your knob.
No, I don't even know where my knob is.
Next to Naboo.
Fantastic. Were you just telling Sarah to shut up about something during the break?
Yeah, he was yelling at me.
Why were you telling Sarah to shut up?
I thought she should, like, listen to me.
Does she listen to you?
Never.
Just like all the other women.
Like all the others.
Have you talked to Mrs. J today?
She hates me.
Would you like another refill? What were you drinking over there?
I don't know, but whatever Cheryl last filled with the Green Manalushi of the two-pronged crown, that was great.
What was that?
Was that English?
The two-pronged what?
The
cheese standard.
Who would you like to mix something for you, Scott?
Sarah,
would you like to mix something? You are the
mixologist. You want to make another Tropical Thunder Dog?
Oh, that was a good one.
And then you can, we'll pick the song that you want to drink to.
Oh.
Excellent. Fantastic.
But yeah, think of a song, Scotty.
Think of a song. All right. So, Aaron, geek in the city, Duran.
Yes. How's it going?
How's it? How is it standing next to Scotty?
It kind of smells like my uncle.
Fantastic.
He yelled at me when I showed up today.
Really?
Scotty J did not.
Why?
My uncle. He says, "Don't you know that this effing show starts at 11?
Oh, did he? Did
Where
he
have
think,
you been?
Did he think you were going to be here for the whole show?
Yeah.
Scotty,
yeah.
Did you think that?
Yes.
All right. No.
No,
that's not really the case. No.
No.
So at Rush Hour 3, how bad is that?
It's completely terrible. Don't go waste your money on it.
No, I would
no,
not
don't.
Do that.
Don't
is
do
it true
all.
That
don't
Roman
even BitTorrent? Don't do anything with it.
Is it true that Roman Polanski is in Rush Hour 3 and that he makes rape jokes?
Yes, Roman Polanski. Yeah, he's. This is gonna sound bad. He is the butt of anal rape jokes. Yes. Yeah, he chews out Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker in that cliche cop style.
Uh-huh.
And Chris Tucker, as they're walking out, says something like, "My butt hurts."
And
I was like, did you guys really just make that joke?
See, that just astounds even me. I'm not even going to say I'm offended so much as I am just stunned.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, don't go see it. Try to find Stardust, which opens this weekend also.
Now, what is Stardust?
Stardust is...
I'm thinking of Starman with what's-his-name in the 80s.
Not, right, it is not Starman.
Who is in Starman?
I want to say Bruce Brocklehunter, but that's very wrong.
All right. Actually. Oh, by the way, let's open the other microphone over here. Let's welcome also to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Chris Boba Fett. Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Feeling a little nervous being on Mr. Riley's mic.
It's okay. No, it's okay. Just don't touch it or look at it directly.
I was gonna say, I don't want to become one of those weekend people.
He came in about the same time, Aaron. You brought us a box of Franzia wine. I'm not even really sure that we're going to get to that at this point.
No. Well, yeah, the way Scotty J is looking, I don't even think he's
going to Scotty has consumed another Lunchable. How is that Lunchable? You still feel that they're flawless?
It was damn great ham.
Are you still on the ham or are you on the turkey now?
I think it's turkey.
Are you on the turkey at this point?
I don't know.
All right, excellent. Now, is this another Thunder Dog that Sarah has mixed for
it's
you?
It's a tropical Thunder
Dog. A tropical Thunder Dog, I'm sorry.
Whoa, hey.
Hold on, which song are you drinking to, Scotty?
Yeah, Scotty, pick a song.
Sister Christian.
All right, do we have Sister Christian? I think Sarah actually has that. Oh, that's right, you're going to be rocking out in the front row at Night Ranger tomorrow.
He said he wasn't going to go.
That'll feel good. No, you got to go.
I'm going.
You got to go because there may be a special surprise for you when you get there.
The time has come. I need to be there.
The time has come. No, it is true. The time has absolutely... Sarah will find that and then
and
we'll get
right... And you're the only one that will see Scotty J.
Okay.
Okay.
Hold on.
I'm just waiting for it to buffer.
That's what... Buffer? I was going to throw to Scotty. Buffer?
I'm better than you are.
What is that sound? Oh, here we go. All right, Scotty. Tomorrow you'll be seeing this live, Scotty.
I need to because I love this band. They're awesome.
Yes.
And anybody that can see this band, they need to realize that there's like...
Sister Christian, oh, the time has
this is
come.
It. You've arrived when you see Night Ranger.
It's true.
You made bucks... You're not going to get any richer. This is it.
Where you going, what
listen
you
to that, Ranger. That's you know the maximum the of your earning potential.
It's true. It is true. Oh, I'm singing along with the song. Act it out.
You put your motor in, and that's it.
Now you. So explain that further.
You put your motor in, and you take a flight, and there ain't no more. There's no more money. There's no more nothing. And that's the maximum.
I'm not sure I'm following the analogy. What is the song about, in your estimation?
The song is about making a little bit of profit on
a house.
Some idiots.
Who? Is this about the mouse again?
No, a mouse?
Weren't you talking about a mouse pecking at a ball?
The mouse and the balls.
The mouse and the balls. Okay, motor in, what's your price for flight, and you're gonna, like, you know, this is it. We have a green piece of alcohol right here that I'm gonna drink in remembrance of your... Whatever.
Fantastic. Well said, Scotty. That's fantastic. fantastic.
Thank you.
No, it's real. No.
Thank you. And that was the worst drink I've ever heard, but it was great.
The worst drink you've ever heard.
The drink you're speaking to him.
Yes. Yes. Listen, do you smell something?
Fantastic. Rick, you're a tricky guy. You're a tricky guy, Rick.
Yes, it's true. What are you looking forward to
you
most?
You should call him Tricky
Ranger?
Ricky.
What am I looking forward to?
Other than Sister Christian, what
more
else?
More green drinks because goddamn Sarah makes a good drink. She does. And you know what? You can hate life, but Sarah knows how to make a drink. I mean, she does. And I can't lie about that.
No, it's true.
I will not tell a lie to my fellow compadres.
Big chorus, Scotty.
Get motoring and watch your plan for flight. Oh, Jesus.
I've only been gone for 10 minutes.
Mr. Wright. Be all right tonight. Mr. Wright, be all right tonight. All right. Tim, take it away. Tim, in 10 minutes.
Scotty, I've only been gone for 10 minutes.
Tim, seems like hours.
It's true.
10 minutes.
Where are we at break-wise, Sarah? Do we have two left? One left?
We have one more.
So is it time to go to the news?
We could.
Hey, Sam, do you have news for us?
Oh, yeah. Things will interest Scotty J.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, the one, the only, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, competitors at the Little Shop Espresso in Bellevue feel business is being a little unfair. It serves espresso drinks like the competitors do, but it has been dressing its women baristas in skimpy outfits. Offended neighbors called the police, and they found nothing illegal at the stand. They did warn it about having substandard signs. A nearby espresso stand is countering by advertising family-friendly espresso. The barista at the little shop says, "We're selling espresso, not sex."
Not sex espresso. This is like that,
sir. Would you patronize this establishment, Scotty, with a scantily clad barista?
Hell no.
Really?
No.
Okay.
As standards.
Scotty, the next time you travel with the kids, listen up to this.
Where is the next time you're traveling with the kids, Scotty? What is your next... Where is the next time you're taking the kids somewhere?
Bernice.
You're taking them to Bernice. All right.
Is that a place?
No.
Okay.
Is Bernie your friend?
Yes.
Okay.
A lady or a gentleman friend?
Girl.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, next time you take her to Bernice... the kids to Bernie's. Travel experts suggest that when traveling by plane, train, or automobile, let your kids help decide the destination.
Google your destination with the kids, you know, even if they're preschoolers. And then you can look at what there is to do when you get there, what there is to do along the way, talk to them about what they'd like to see, make some plans for rainy days.
Scotty, why not invest in a portable DVD player for the little Jays as a smart thing to do when traveling?
They're really inexpensive, you know, well under $100. And then you can pick up all kinds of movies, even from the library.
You think that's a good idea?
You don't know what it's like to have two younger children. You just don't know what it's like.
Were you speaking as yourself there, or is that woman?
I don't remember, Mike.
Okay.
That was weird.
Scotty, you should prepare your kids for airport security.
Tell them ahead of time, you know, you're going to have to put your blankie, let them take a picture of your blankie or your sippy cup, and you've got to finish drinking your juice before we go through security, just so they understand.
Grown
Scotty,
woman.
Finish drinking that juice.
Finish your sippy cup.
Blankie and sippy
Scotty.
Cup.
Don't play with my blankie. Don't play with my sippy cup. Don't play with my sippy juice. No!
Scotty, please finish your juice.
Finish your juice.
Scotty, finish that juice right now.
I'm going to take a sip.
If you don't, you're not going through airport security.
It's true.
It's horrible.
True. Scotty, here are some healthy ways to keep your kids hydrated on trips.
Instead of having a lot of, like, sugary drinks or whatever, give them each a Nalgene bottle that you can refill with water, and then wherever you stop, they can get a sticker to put on it so it becomes a souvenir for them.
Time to hydrate yourself there, Scotty.
You know, souvenir, Baba Badir. All right? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I think you speak for all of us, Scotty.
You do.
Oh, he looks so sad and cross-eyed.
He doesn't look cross-eyed at all.
Scotty, are you a fan of the comic book Flash Gordon? Well, Flash Gordon will be born again in a new sci-fi series of the same name.
You're a rather angry answer.
I haven't even finished my sentence. This program follows the Flash, played by Eric Johnson and his pals, as they try to protect the Earth from members of a merciless dictator. Johnson said the show does a great interpretation of the comics.
It has that action and adventure that everybody associates with comics, but it also has that sense of humor that that really comes out. It's great because we really don't take ourselves too seriously, but yet we still have, you know, high stakes drama going on at the same time.
Well, okay then.
All right, Vince, are you a Flash Gordon fan, Scotty?
Love him.
Really?
No.
Okay.
He sucks.
Okay. Oh, now we're looping back on ourselves.
What was that?
That was the thing you want to visualize. That's dinner of the mind.
A little bit coming back.
Guy, are you finished with your Tropical Thunder dog?
You know, that's a damn good dream.
No, he's not.
Sir.
Oh.
Why not take another swing, Scotty, now?
You don't get dessert until you finish
it. It does have vitamins.
Gone.
It does have vitamins in it. It is fortified.
A 28-year-old man has surgically altered his hands to get better use of his iPhone. Thomas Martell of Bonnie Bray, Colorado, had his thumb surgically altered using a new procedure called whittling.
That's fantastic.
The process involves shaving down the bones in the thumb and surgically altering the muscles. Martell said he had the surgery because his large thumbs made it difficult to hit the right buttons on his handheld device. He said his new slimmer thumbs are much more efficient. He adds he can do anything now that he's had his thumbs whittled.
I really, honestly, I think I've lost the ability to comment today.
Just sitting on the porch, whittling my thumbs.
Is that a real story?
He probably brought me out, but F that guy.
F the thumb whittler.
I'll brought you out? What? What does that mean?
He'll probably,
You get broad. F that guy, yes. In a little while, Scotty, we're going to do the top five Night Ranger songs.
I don't think you get to it because, Rick, you have been known to not make your stuff on time.
No, that's not true, Scotty.
Well, we're going to make sure that happens because that is the end of the news for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman ever. Fantastic. You'll return, of course, later at 4, 5, 6,
and
7.
Oh, yes. I'm far from finished.
Top of the hour all the way through Lycus. Yeah. Fantastic. Excellent. Thank you, Tim Riley.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let's take a few phone calls for Scotty J. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, best show, and I do mean this, best show ever.
Thank you, sir.
First, I have just a couple quick things. First, I'm in a band, and I call dibs on Tropical Thunderdog as a name.
All right. Excellent. Scotty, let's have one to Tropical Thunderdog, Scotty.
All right.
Don't pour it on the
road
until you drink it.
Let me drink it.
All right.
Starman, Jeff Bridges, Karen Allen.
Karen Allen, that's,
really
that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, excellent. All right, thank you, sir.
Oh, one more thing. You had yesterday at the end of the show, you got off the air with Sarah, and you had a guarantees for today. Did you get to that?
The guarantees was the Kiss giveaway that we're going to be doing next week. Well, first of all, we're going to be giving away Kissology Volume 2 all week. Scotty J has managed to book who, Scotty?
Peter Criss, beyond belief.
Peter Criss from Kiss, or formerly of Kiss, next Thursday, 11:30. And then what makes me very happy, this is the exciting nerd-like thing, sir, is that Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley voiced a little... Let me just... hold on, let me...
This is Gene Simmons, and this is Paul Stanley, and you're listening to The Rick Emerson Show, and there's no doubt you're a card-carrying member of the mighty Kiss Army.
Yeah!
Sir, congratulations, Rick.
Thank you, sir. One step closer to a happy death.
And I think you guys are morally obligated to, like, babysit Scotty J for the rest of the day.
I think he's got big plans for after the show, sir.
Oh, okay. That lets you off the hook. Have a good weekend.
Bye now. All right. Big plans for after the show, Scotty?
Yeah.
Are they secret plans?
Yes.
Really?
Does it involve going over to Bernie's?
Yes.
Have you made secret plans with somebody else?
No.
Okay, fantastic.
Why don't you go over to Dino's?
Instigator.
You know, you're a
terrible person. You should just let this experiment go to its logical conclusion.
Death.
You know, since...
the grave.
Well, you know, since you're testing the fortified wines in downtown, I say you just drop them in Chinatown and, you know, see you Monday.
Yeah, that'll work out.
Scotty likes Orientals.
Hi, you're on the...
From the Orient.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
There's really only one thing to say at this point to Scotty J.
Yes, sir.
God damn.
Thoughts, Scotty?
Okay.
Okay.
I never said that once.
Hi. Okay. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hi, what's up?
Hey, just was going to let Scotty know that I do have an extra room because I don't think he's going to have a family much longer. And I hope you guys did. I was thinking of this. Did you take a before and then
a after gay.
You, what?
Before and after. Flava gay.
What is that?
What are you saying?
What is that word?
Flava gay.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank you, sir.
Did you get my last question?
Before and after photo. Well, we have a lot of before photos. That's basically every photo. We'll do like an after photo at some point.
Great, thank you.
All right, bye. Hi, it's 503-733-2970. It's Ask Scotty J. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Scotty J.
Yes, sir.
It's Uncle Steve. Did you know that Night Ranger's playing the Umatilla Fair tonight?
Well, don't tell me you love me, dude.
Mentioning a theme.
Hey, isn't Mad Dog made by the same people who make the kosher wine? Does it say right on the label, Mogan David Manischewitz?
It's possible.
Maybe, but we gotta say goodbye, bye, bye.
Yeah, so that's like the reject of stuff we use on Friday night. Yeah.
I will tell you this: I do believe that Night Train. I may be wrong about this, but I think that Night Train, under a different label, is made by the Gallo family. I think that is true. I think they have a separate label, and it's like Night Train Incorporated. But I think that is actually the Gallo family.
That is true.
That.
The Gallo.
Yeah, they gotta do something with the dregs before they turn it into pig feed.
Excellent. Pig feet.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you,
Best
sir.
Forever.
Thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, this call is for Scotty J.
And Scotty, hold on a second. Let's wait. Scotty J? You came
in here.
Okay. It's radio.
Hey, Scotty.
Hi, I'm here.
Hi.
Man, you know who this is, and I just wanted to tell you, you are the best call screener on the face of the planet, best assistant producer, and, man, I love the work you do.
Well, thank you, Dante, cab driver. Thank you.
You are truly a stellar addition to the Rick Emerson cast, and they should double your pay, dude.
Yeah, we'll get right on that. All right, thank you, sir.
They have no money, but there you go.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. So before we do the Night Ranger Top 5, I kind of cut your review short. Is there anything actually that you're... Did you actually come to do anything today?
Nah, I just came here to watch Scotty Day Dream.
Fantastic. Oh, speaking of which, it's probably time for him.
I love this guy, by the way.
Who?
This guy.
Aaron?
Aaron. Yeah.
Oh, that guy.
I love him.
Scotty loves you.
He hates me and he tries to diss me. And
that's
a
try.
Emails that are like the worst in the world.
Really?
Wait a minute. What do I
say? I think the guy likes me, but I don't know.
It's
I like
start,
Sarah, but
it's when
she
I start
hates
kissing
me
up
too.
To you that you gotta get worried. I don't hate you, Scotty.
You do, Sarah.
What evidence do you have that Sarah hates you?
Did you see the drink that she just made him?
There's several, like, blah, blah, blahs in between the yeah that Sarah commits to.
Uh-huh.
Anyways.
Okay. I hate it when I get blah, blah, blahed.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson
yeah,
Show.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, this is for Scotty J. I do not envy you the headache you will have in the morning, but in the meantime... Sleep well and dream of large women.
Well done.
Thank you.
I always do. They're ultra fat, by the way. They are, like, huge. They're so big. I love them.
Fantastic. You already have one microphone. You probably don't need both.
All right.
All right. Excellent. Are you going to dream of large women or, you know, redheaded, blonde?
No, I'm going to dream of... Ultra huge.
Fantastic.
I love it.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Divine women.
I don't even know what we were doing. Did you have anything to actually, did you have the, you were talking about Flash Gordon, you talked about Rush Hour 3. I just want to make sure
your time isn't
completely drunk away.
Flash Gordon came out on DVD this week. Go buy that. Screw the
Now,
TV
is that
show.
The one that Tim has? Is that the same with Tim? You said you have the Flash Gordon collection.
I have the original ones from the 1950s.
Right, no, this is the 1980 Dino De Laurentiis movie that got re-released just this week on DVD.
Is that the one where he gets pierced by the ship at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neff von Sydow.
I haven't seen that forever. I don't think I've seen that since I was a Cub Scout, actually.
You will love it. It's completely cheesy and dorky.
I remember being at a Cub Scout gathering one time, and that was the activity. It was, we're all going to watch Flash Gordon and me get speared by a ship.
And you can tell the guys, when they remix the sound, are huge Queen fans, because all the sound effects are kind of muted. But whenever the Queen music kicks in, and the 5.1, it's like you're in a live concert. It blows your speakers out. It's fantastic.
Fantastic. All right. Excellent. All right, Scotty, are these in the, let's see, are these songs
yes.
in the Night Ranger?
I think Scotty wants you to have a drink.
Don't tell me you love me. Yeah. Now, Rick.
Yeah.
I personally had a hard time with the Night Ranger songs. I had a hard time.
Okay.
Because there was like, not six, there was like 12, 15.
Yeah, many. What are your other favorite Night
Ranger
songs?
Many songs.
What is, let me ask you this. What is the best part about being in the concert, being the crowd at a Night Ranger concert?
If they sing Let Him Go, I will fucking...
Whoa! Let's, careful. Let's make sure that we don't use that language, please.
You're right.
You'll lose your mind.
You're right. If they sing Let Him Go, I will... My mind.
All right. How does that go?
Sorry, Rick.
That's okay. How does that song go?
No, I feel bad.
That's okay.
Okay,
no, I mean, you're like...
No, your apology is accepted.
Your apology is accepted.
Going on,
time to move on.
I feel bad. That's the thing.
How does the song go?
I'll let him go. Let him run. Blah, 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 blah.
Your mastery of Night Ranger lyrics really second to none.
That's my favorite song of all time.
Yes.
No, when you hear it tonight, it's good. It's a good song.
Let's get a few more here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, I'm an alcoholic.
Get in line, sir.
Dude, get out.
No, I am. And I find this very offensive that you guys are joking about something like this on the air.
Yes.
And I just wanted to let you know that... I can't believe I've listened to this program, but I don't endorse what you're doing. That's all I can say. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What's your name, sir?
He's one of your brothers, Scotty. All right. It should be noted, by the way, that Scotty's debilitating afflictions notwithstanding, he lives in a house that's like larger than all of our houses put together. So, Scotty, if you do indeed have a problem, you're among the most functional. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Hello. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I was just thinking now might be the opportune time for Sarah to take Scotty J out for a smoke break, test his will.
Scotty, would you like to smoke?
Oh, hell yes.
Would you like a cigarette?
Yes.
Really? Would you like to smoke one of the pink ones?
Oh, hell yes.
Fantastic.
I think I do have the pink ones, actually.
Excellent. Who made that noise?
What was that noise?
Excellent.
That was not me, by the way.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right. Hi. You're on the. Hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah. Hello. Just want to invite Scotty. Back in college, we had a club called the 2020 Club. It's 20 ounces of 20 proof wine in 20 minutes.
Uh huh.
So his decoder ring and membership card is in the mail.
Excellent. All right. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Just like golf, when he does throw up, you need to get the microphone right down there to catch the splatter.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye now.
Somebody fell asleep there for a minute.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Scotty J's voice is as fake as the chocolate rain, guys. He needs to, like, lighten up a little bit. He needs to...
You're saying his voice is
fake?
He's, like,
faking voice?
Yeah, I think he's faking a little bit. I think he's taking it a little too far.
I don't know. The last guy seemed to think that he was broadcasting directly from the Betty Ford Center.
Oh, you're in here with us. You can see the effects.
Does he believe the ice?
Scotty, do you believe the ice?
Oh, right.
What?
I thought you detested him. I thought you didn't like the ice.
The ice, and I can hopefully see that you see my ice.
Now, your voice is actually getting smaller, and you're sort of compressing into yourself at this point. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
And his nose has a nice glisten of sweat on it. It's fantastic.
There really is like a sheen. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello. I wasn't aware that you had Corky Thatcher on today.
Yes.
I think Scotty needs some sort of tongue splint or something. It's getting worse and worse. But
Scotty, would you like a tongue splint?
Sir.
All righty then. Hey, great show today, Rick.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I like every third call. That was the best show ever. Aaron's actually having to wipe the saliva off of himself.
We're going to have to do this every Friday now.
I like the way you think, Tim Riley. Oh, man. Well, let's just finish.
I think the two Scots would be just completely fantastic drunk together.
Oh, man. Oh, I can't even imagine Scott Dowling in here. All right.
Tim Riley speaks the truth.
Bring in Scott Dowling, because I love that man.
You can both smoke the pink one together.
Yes.
The best part is that you don't miss a beat. You're right there. Now, are you looking forward to being at the front row of a rock concert tomorrow night?
Don't tell me you love me, Rick.
You know, there's a weird theme and an undercurrent to all of your responses. Let's just finish these out, and then we'll take a break. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Oh, I'm just waiting for the podcast to be coming out after Scotty J edits them this time.
It can't happen because we're like 2 days behind.
You might want to get Fat Boy on the podcast.
I was going to say, for your entertainment this afternoon, you may wish to listen to the Corden Fat Boy show, sir. I think ye may be at loose ends when you're looking for our podcast.
I'll keep that in mind. Thanks.
Right, thank you. All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Just a quick question.
Yes.
Did Scotty bring his home key in, or are you guys going to be hammering on the door drunkenly tonight?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. Scotty, do you have the key to get into your home?
No.
Again?
Is this another instance where you're going to have to be knocking at the door to be let in?
Perhaps, yes.
Now, did your wife drop you off today?
Yes.
All right. So,
will she let me in? No. But anyways, I'll persuade her. Yes.
One final question for the J.
Uh-huh.
Because he is a J. What's your opinion of the women at CBS Radio?
No. Thank you. No. Fine.
Frank caller.
Man, I don't even work here, and I panicked over that question.
This email just says, I was only away for about 30 minutes, and Scotty J went over the edge. Your show is made of awesome today. Scotty, the people love you. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Hello.
Scotty J, I just want to say you're the greatest call screener ever and a stellar addition to the Rick Emerson show, and I love you, man. They should double your pay.
I think we have this call. This email says, Rick,
weird.
I'm an alcoholic and I find Scotty hilarious. I think it's about time for you guys to ask Scotty if he smoked and or lied about smoking to you.
Oh.
Scotty J, have ye been completely honest about smoking?
Oh, he's holding it in.
Completely honest.
Have you smoked?
Why are you talking all weird?
Because... drink.
No, I can't. Now it's just open. It's just open vowel sounds. All right. So since you pledged to quit smoking, have you smoked?
No.
All right. So you have been completely.
Yep.
Smoke free. Totally and completely.
What? Yep.
What, you smoked one?
No.
All right. Completely and totally smoke free. You're kind of in a weird like zen state now. You've got like the. You've got like the ninja master.
Why are you pointing at me?
He's pointing to his penis.
Because you're looking at me.
Okay. Taxi driver. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Hello.
Yeah, Rick, don't you think you ought to do a quick little tongue twister before the show's up?
I think that really...
I'm thinking like splitting sheets and stuff.
I think even the simplest of words meets that criteria today, sir.
Well, have him stand on one leg for just a second so we can hear it.
I like the way you think. Scotty Gray, can you stand up? Can you stand on one leg?
Dude, I'm getting on the leg.
I can
barely sit right now.
Okay, I think you have to let go of the counter.
There you go.
He's actually
that's
just...
about it.
You're a male dog peeing on a tree.
Just like leaning
that
against...
would be Boba Fett, not a tree that he's with.
Leaning against the counter and lifting one foot slightly off the ground.
That's it.
Wonderful. All right. Do we have to break here?
Yes.
All right.
And Scotty says so.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. Don't go anywhere. We can continue after this. You stay right there. We nap.
See what I mean? Get a couple in and we desperate in the flavor gay.
Rick, this email says, I've had so many people walk by my cubicle today looking at me with what can only be called concerned looks on their faces due to my laughter. Greatest end to a week ever. I am more than willing, he says, to sacrifice Scotty's liver in order to make a weekly segment. Thank you, Nicholas. I appreciate that. Oh, all right. Hi, Scotty.
How's it going, Rick? Love life.
Excellent.
And search drinks are horrible.
What?
Search drinks are horrible.
I thought you said I made good drinks.
Nah, they were great, but bad.
Do you feel like we're ending the week on an up, Scotty?
They were good, up, down, beyond, round, but no, they were bad.
I'm so confused. Big plans for the weekend, Scotty? Oh, you got Night Ranger tomorrow.
Don't tell me you love me.
Your comments a lot when you're drinking have to do with me and love, Scotty.
Well, Rick, no, I don't love you, but I love Night Ranger, so don't tell me you love me.
Fantastic. Now, there is, I mean, you may be getting a special surprise when you go to see Night Ranger tomorrow, but at the very least, you're going to have great seats. You may meet the band. Who knows? It's going to be very exciting.
I live for that.
Excellent. Wonderful, Scotty. All right. Final thoughts as we... how long are we until the music starts, Sarah? Final thoughts?
Final thoughts are we should have done a top five with the Night Ranger.
That's true. Do you feel like we should make this a recurring segment, Scotty?
Yes, we should.
Absolutely. Wonderful. You give it a big thumbs up?
I tell you, a million people love that thumbs up on the five Rick... Or... Night Ranger songs. They love it.
Excellent. Well done. I could not have put it better myself. Aaron.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I forgot you were there.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
FilmFeverRadio.com.
Check it out. Brand new show. It's up right now. Version 2.0.
Is it drunk?
No.
Okay.
It's 100% sober.
We want to thank CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, Dennis Pitzenbarger, Scotty the J. Coming up next week, Mr. Skin, Kiss Giveaway, and Peter Chris next Thursday. Rick Emerson, show producer today, innovative, loving, talented, Sarah Stone for AM970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom. Tim Riley, the PA is Scotty J. And, of course, the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. As always, thanks for listening. Be safe. Don't let the bastards grind you down. We will see you next week, my friends. Bye now.
Goddamn.